much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Have you ever pooped a balloon?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I think I'm having an overdose at his school as my wife.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. But I don't know if it had something in it. Can you please send rescue?
Did you guys have fever or anything?
No, I think we're dying.
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead. Time is going by really, 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 really slow.
Does anybody have any drugs?
I just got off of work, and then I got high. Ooh, I was listening to Kevin and Bean, and then I got high. I called the Afro line. I don't know why, man, because I got high, because I got high, because I got high.
You know, the best thing for a hangover is weed. Do you smoke weed?
Not really.
You don't?
No.
At all? Mm-mm. Like in the morning?
No, I just don't.
You know, it is like the best medicine.
Because it fixes everything.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, here's to my big opening.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
She is quite the little go-getter.
Roll another one.
The plot thickens.
Just like the other one.
This is the work of a lunatic.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's a blessing and a curse.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Let's turn off. Let's blast a joint.
Roll. Roll another one.
We like to prolong the party around here.
Just like the other one.
It's all fun and games till they shoot you in the face.
This one seems to be about.
I'm shuffling.
Just pass it around.
Are you sure you're saying that right?
That is witty as all hell.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Thank you.
Our feature presentation.
Not sure what went wrong there.
I don't either. We're drinking the bong water.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show at 5:36 on a Friday morning.
Day two from New York City, MTV Video Music Awards on Sunday night. How's it going, you guys?
Everyone's tired already.
It's exhausting.
This city's exhausting.
You know what it is? It's this city plus beer mug.
Oh, it really is. That's the deadly combination.
So that's a 4,000-mile drive on top of being in a convertible. That's
what
that's like. It's just one thing on top of another. Just makes it too much.
Yes. I had ramen. He only answers in food, no matter what you're talking about.
True.
So Ralph said, what was your night like last night? And he immediately shoots back before Ralph's even finished with the question with, I had ramen.
That's a thing.
As if ramen is like a delicacy that no one else can get anywhere else.
Isn't ramen what you mostly don't eat anymore after you can afford real food?
Well, that's what some people
like
say.
This isn't like instant just add water ramen. Apparently there's a restaurant that serves ramen with like stuff in it or whatever. But still, you know.
But I want to ask you guys, particularly you, Ralph, because I know that one of the reasons a lot of people like to go to New York City is it has the most and the best restaurants in the country. It's the food mecca of the United States. You have access to any kind of food from around the world, prepared any way you want at any time of the day or night. I mean, it's a culinary dream city.
And it's the finest of every type of food that you can get.
Absolutely,
in one city.
So what kind of – I mean, that the toughest part about being in New York for a lot of people is, okay, we can only eat so many meals. We've really got to make make them count. What are we going to do with dinner tonight, for instance? What are we going to do? It's got to be great because we have the opportunity for it to be great. So what kinds of choices has the team been making?
Well, for me, it's like traveling with a bunch of fifth graders and then going to Magic Mountain and just giving them all $20 and watching what they would eat. It's the same phenomenon. It's just ice cream and pizza and churros and snow cones, and I haven't seen any of them eat anything that you couldn't get in a concourse at an event.
This trip has been an amazing food treat.
No, it hasn't. It's the same as if you were in a food court at a mall, you'd be eating the same things.
We went to Serendipity yesterday for lunch.
You just had a giant, a size of your head sundae. That's all you had.
The outrageous banana split for $22. Yeah,
but that's not a meal you get in New York City, just a banana split.
But part of the reason I got it is because I was sitting next to Beatty's, and I thought it would be funny because poor Beatty's.
For those who don't know, one of our crew has just been diagnosed with diabetes.
Right.
So that's Kevin thinks it's hilarious to call him Beatty's and to taunt him with sugar.
He can't eat any sugar, right?
He can't have any sugar. So I had the giant ultimate, it's for two people, banana split.
God, you're a dick.
Nope. Lisa May, I thought we were friends.
That would make me cry if I were Beatty's. That's so mean.
Well, first of all, if you're Beatty's, you don't go to Serendipity.
Right.
That's probably
why. The building itself is made out of sugar.
That's true, yeah.
You're an alcoholic. You don't go to the bar.
But I was doing it mainly for the photo op. I thought it would be very funny for me to be
eating. You weren't.
I was at
you
the beginning.
You wanted to eat your weight in ice cream. You always do.
At the beginning, that's why I was doing it, instead of the coward's portion, which is only $14. but then when it came, I was like, this isn't a big. I can take this down. There's nothing.
This is
Kevin, however, couldn't finish it. Couldn't finish it.
Oh, I finished all but like a banana, but I'm telling you, mugs.
But what did you do with the rest of your stuff?
Gave it to mugs.
Fruit. It was fruit, though, Ralph. That's why. I wouldn't eat the banana.
That's true.
Muggs was looking around the table, and I swear to God, halfway through every one of my meals, he's like, are you going to finish those fries?
Muggs had his own sundae.
He had his own whole meal.
And finished yours.
Yes.
And I believe also finished off Dave's sundae as well.
But right, you're talking about dessert. He had his own lunch and finished my lunch and one other lunch.
What the hell?
Then dessert came, and he finished his dessert and my dessert and somebody else's dessert.
Yeah, he was very proud of that this morning. I destroyed Kevin's brownie.
It was Dave's, but it doesn't matter. He really was packing it.
Muggs is like the dog you give the plate to after dinner, just to lay clean. That's what Muggs is
and
like.
And then that dog barfs all over your oriental rug.
He can be miserable, too. I've seen him. He can just be miserable. But if you put
so
food...
Full?
Yeah, it's too full. Like, you know that feeling you get, like, oh, I might throw up. I really am miserable. Yeah. I just wish I didn't eat that much. Right. And then somebody else, you know, he'll glance around the table and see somebody's not done, and I don't think he has a choice. I think he just goes, you gonna finish that? Send it over.
You're going to have to pay extra to fly him home, you know.
Oh, that's so cute, like we're flying him home.
We're going to release him in Central Park.
Okay.
We're just going to take him off the leash and just let him run through Central
Park.
Let
him run free.
And we're going to just disappear.
How big was that ice cream sundae you ate 99% of, Kevin? Because I saw the photo, and it looked like it was a couple of pounds of ice cream.
Oh, it's not that much. It was pretty big. But ice cream isn't that filling. It isn't. Ice cream isn't filling.
Are you insane?
You can pack in a lot of ice
cream.
It's
heavy. It's heavy cream.
No, it's nothing. And Sarah, you could probably look it up. Serendipity, outrageous banana split. It's no big deal.
Okay.
It's called outrageous for a reason.
And it is $22. I'll give you that.
In its definition, it's already an outrageous plate of ice cream.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that much. It was nothing.
Beer Mug did say, I thought at one point I was going to decorate the sidewalk.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's the only thing better than Mug talking about food. He's talking about vomiting.
He has been very special.
On my way home from ramen, I was sweating pretty bad. I think I had too much sodium. I said, I think you have too much flesh.
Too much everything, yeah.
So it's nightmare. Frozen hot chocolate. And then regular hot chocolate, and then Serendipity hot chocolate, and then hot mochaccino. That's all in the and bananas. That's what's in the. That's what's in it. Wow, I'm looking for a size or calorie count here. I haven't.
There was some mint in it too. There was a giant scoop of mint in it too. Yeah, to my dismay.
Well, good, you got some vegetables.
But I ate it anyway. Yeah, I got some vegetables.
All right.
Well, sadly,
we
had to send Beer Mug on a run. He's already gone to Starbucks because Kevin needs a double Choco Monte Choco Chocolato Choco.
But every day what happens is we send Mugs. He eats it on the way back. We have to send him again. He eats it on the way back.
The Beer Mug diet. You send him for food and he eats your food so you don't eat it.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beach show, shall we?
The only thing I know for sure is you're a goddamn liar.
Yes. That's true.
All right. We have a movie beat today because it's Friday. Ralph will take a look at the new movies in the theater. We have the Citizen of the Day. Finally, we're going to get to the 70-year-old who had a fork stuck in his penis. That
on
happened.
Purpose.
On purpose.
That's evil. Someone stuck him in the penis with a fork? That's really
I think
wrong
he did it to himself.
What?
Yeah. We have Arthur Darvill, who's going to be on the program today. He's an actor who has been very drunk with Ralph within the last, 6 months?
A year ago we did it, yeah.
Morgan Spurlock will be in here. Now, this is a topic that we don't normally handle, and I've seen some tweets where people are very, they're questioning why we would do this. But he has done a documentary on One Direction, and it looks fascinating.
I won't see the movie, but I am fascinated in talking to Mr. Spurlock about the topic, because what would it be like to basically be plucked from obscurity and become, a few minutes later, one of the most famous people in the world?
Right, those five guys were nothing.
Yep.
They weren't even a group.
And now they're the Beatles.
Right.
Now they're the Beatles, yeah.
You should have seen the crowd lining up for the Today Show performance this morning. It was pandemonium down there at your Rockefeller
Center.
It's
insane.
We should send Muggs down there and make him get on TV behind One Direction.
He should go down there and let's send him down there to interview the girls and explain to them that One Direction sucks. See what they say.
He should heckle One Direction.
I like it. I like it. So that's coming up today as well. Plus, we got to talk about Bean's surgery, which he's having this afternoon to have his gallbladder removed. And we found out recently that his doctor is not going to do it. His doctor's not going to do the surgery.
No, you don't want that.
His doctor's robot is going to do the surgery.
His doctor's pet robot?
His doctor's robot.
I think it's a Roomba. I think it's just one of those vacuum cleaners that just goes around the room. He's going to put a scalpel. He's going to duct tape a scalpel to it.
Don't I sort of deserve this because I'm the guy who is welcoming the robot overlords? I'm the one who wants robots for everything. So it's kind of a little bit of revenge on me that a robot is going to be performing my surgery.
Right. Of course, that makes sense that you deserve it. But in what world is a doctor going, you know what? I'm going to let my robot handle this one. I don't want to be that guy.
It's just a gallbladder.
I don't want to be that guy.
Call me him and it's brain surgery.
And we also have we have to talk about the new KISS football team because L.A. is just all just a flutter because we actually have a football team named the KISS.
Arena football.
Well, arena football, sure. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it's appropriate that we're here in New York City on this day of all days because now I know what it must have felt like to be here when 9/11 happened.
Why? What are you talking about?
It was announced yesterday by Warner Brothers that Ben Affleck is going to play the next Batman.
But I just want to know why. Just tell me that, will you please? Just tell me why.
Wait, that's conjecture? That's another name thrown out by the media?
Announced by Warner Brothers yesterday.
Wait, this is a rumor?
No, official news.
What?
Ben Affleck will be the next actor to play Batman.
What?
Huh. He seems old to me to play Batman. Am I wrong?
Well, they're looking
about
for
that?
An older Batman.
That's the least of his problems.
That was the premise. They're looking for an older Batman. But it doesn't matter. That's what you focus on?
Right.
His age?
That's not the problem.
Really?
Problem is he strikes you as the opposite of Batman. He couldn't even play Robin.
No! What are they thinking? Of all the people that have been mentioned in this story, all the cast, except for maybe Orlando Bloom, he's better than Orlando Bloom in terms of casting. And he's worse than everyone else. Did they see Daredevil? Go rent Daredevil, Warner Brothers, and then cast him. Madness. The studio said he has the acting chops to create a layered portrayal of a man who is older and wiser than Clark Kent, but bears the scars of a seasoned crime fighter, but still retains the charm that the world sees in the billionaire Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just wanted somebody we could understand.
I have to go lay down.
Ralph's not happy. He's
it's inconceivable. Of all the good actors they were talking about, there were so many excellent names being bandied about. Wes Bentley and Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Kevin Ryder.
I would take you over him, actually.
You wouldn't.
It'd be like, retarded Batman, but still, I would take that. Where's my Batcave? I forgot what Batcave is. Aziz Ansari is also in the news this morning. He scored a book deal. He's going to write his first book about single life, apparently. That will be the theme for his new book. Let me see what they're paying him in advance. Well, his first book, he's not an established artist.
Not a writer, author. Yeah.
50 comedian. Grand?
I can't imagine. Let me see. $3.5 million. That's right.
Oh,
wow.
That's right. That's what I meant to say. $3.5 million. Is this Bizarro World? Is this some sort of punk Ralph day where you guys gave me fake showbiz news?
Wow.
What's happening?
There is a very talented writer out there struggling to pay his rent as he writes the great American novel who can't get anyone to even read it. You know that's happening somewhere.
Yeah, this places him just behind the biggest celebrity get in terms of actors. Lena Dunham from Girls has just got her book deal for $3.7 million.
Wow.
Yeah, is anyone selling enough books anymore that they can afford to pay people
that
to write
shocking.
Them?
That's nuts.
That's a good question.
Jennifer Lopez may want to downsize a bit. Her house is so big that an intruder lived on her property for a week without being noticed.
What? Was she there?
Yes.
What?
That's the guy best named, story ever.
John M. Dubas made himself right at home in her pool house in Southampton, New York earlier this month and was posting photos of himself enjoying the amenities on Facebook. Went undetected by security and was finally popped by police after several days.
Wow.
Yeah. Your house is too big if someone can crash and live there and you don't even know about it.
While you're in the same house.
Freaky part is this guy is has already been served with a protective order because he's a bit of a stalker when it comes to J-Lo. And he's been charged with burglary, stalking, criminal contempt, and will have to undergo a mental evaluation. Look, the guy's sharp enough to break into the premises and live there undetected.
Not be caught, yeah.
I say guilty. Jeremy Renner, he's a smart dude. He's not just a good actor. Would have made a good Batman.
He sure would have.
But he's a pretty smart real estate guy, too. He just made $17 million on a home.
He's a house flipper, right?
Yeah, that's what he does. In fact, That's what he did before he became a successful actor. That's how he made his bones.
No kidding.
They made his flow.
His flow, as mugs would call it.
Your mother would say. He bought a 2-acre property in 2010, a 10,000 square foot home in Bel Air, fixed it up, decorated it all himself. And then was able to flip it and sell it for $24 million.
Wait,
not a bad deal.
How much did he pay for it?
He paid $10 million for it.
And sold it for $24?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
That's pretty strong.
That is pretty strong.
He could have bought... When did you say he bought it? Did you say
2010.
Yeah, that was kind of when housing costs were at their lowest, pretty much, wasn't
That's
it?
That's when the market kind of crashed.
Yeah.
This was a good time to
Perfect.
Snap stuff up.
That's
and
crazy.
Now that's rebounding. He is reaping the benefits. And this is sad news. The porn industry has suspended production this week after a performer has tested positive for HIV.
Ooh.
Her name is Cameron Bay. She has been tested for what is being called an unconfirmed positive with an HIV test. Here's the thing. Her most recent sex scene was shot with an actor named Xander Corvus, who then went on to star with Sydney Leathers in her new porn movie, Wiener and Me. She, of course, was the woman who was sexting with Anthony Weiner. So a lot of panic right now in the porn industry. Everyone's busy getting checked. They're not sure if this Xander Corvus did, in fact, contract HIV from this woman. But as you can imagine, for the next few months, there's going to be some tension on that set until they figure everything out. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Everybody was born today, August the 23rd. Actress Barbara Eden is 82 years old today. Actress Shelley Long from Cheers is 64. She's also a Modern Family. Very funny. Dean DeLeo, Stone Temple Pilots, is 52. Julian Casablancas of The Strokes turns 35. Our good friend, actor, comedian, radio host Jay Moore celebrates his 43rd birthday. But the reason we celebrate today, the only reason I was able to get to work despite the horrible Batman news was I knew how to celebrate the birthday of Mr. Rick Springfield. Come on. Oh, yeah. You know you want it. He's 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 6 o'clock, live from New York City.
Oscar-nominated director Morgan Spurlock joins us in studio in about 50 minutes or so, talking about his new movie that opens up today, his documentary on the band One Direction. First, though, today is surgery day for me, you guys, so no eating or drinking during the show today. That hurts me.
Sorry, we were talking about Bean getting his gallbladder out. He was going to do it yesterday morning, but he was able to put it off till this afternoon, and then he gave us a fantastic piece of information yesterday about what was going to happen with his surgery.
Well, I had not heard about this before, but just like the laparoscopic surgery is the way that you've been wanting to get your surgeries done for the past few years because it's way better than the way they used to do it, which was to crack open your chest or to put a giant scar down the middle of your stomach or something like that. They have been going in just with tiny tools and little holes in your abdomen and in your stomach. Well, now they're not even doing that anymore in some places. Now they're using one incision, which heals much faster, and the doctor isn't putting a bunch of tools inside you to remove an organ. He's having a robot go in and cut it out and pull it out.
So I said, what? And then you said, no, seriously, my doctor is going to be controlling the robot, but yes, a robot is going to do the surgery.
That's correct, yes.
That seems like all kinds of bad.
Really? Because I think it sounds better because a robot can be more precise. It can be a smaller instrument than what you would need if you were a human, right?
Sure, but what if it goes berserk? Then what? What if it stirs up your insides and the doctor can't stop it? He's trying to pull it off and it's just destroying you. Well, I would say try your robot on someone else, sir. I prefer a surgeon.
They just opened it up. They just took it out of the box. I'm going to be the first patient.
Right.
Well, I don't know
about
that.
That's a terrible idea.
I don't know about that. I'm just kidding. But we did ask producer Dave if there's any way he could line somebody up. And I believe we do have, I don't know if we have somebody from the hospital or the doctor or somebody's on the line who knows something about these robot surgeries. Hello there.
Good morning.
Oh, this is the robot.
I am the Surgitron 3000.
Ah, so are you the one who's going to be removing my gallbladder later today?
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mrs. Carlisle. I am looking forward to your breast enlargement surgery.
No. This is Bean. I'm the guy who's having his gallbladder out.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Bean. I am looking forward to your breast enlargement surgery.
Okay, just gallbladder. Do you do gallbladders also or only breast enlargements?
Reprogramming. Gallbladder.
Okay, all right, now we got
it. I've always wanted to try that. I am looking forward to it.
What, so you've never taken out a gallbladder?
I have never actually performed surgery before.
Oh, geez.
My previous employment was putting rivets on Dodge Chargers.
Okay, now I'm kind of with Kevin that I'm a little nervous and feel like they should test you out somewhere else first.
Don't worry, Miss Anderson. I'm sure your hysterectomy will go perfectly.
Oh, wow. I hope they double-check this before they wheel me into the operating room. So how does this work exactly? How is a little tiny robot hand able to carve out a gallbladder and then stop the bleeding, clip it up, and then pull the gallbladder out? How are you able to do all that?
It's a simple 12-inch incision made with a surgical buzzsaw.
Did you say 12-inch and buzzsaw?
Then I will splay you open using giant claws. Then I will root inside your intestines and innards until I recognize something that looks like perhaps a gallbladder.
Oh, no. That is
I will remove that thing. I will send it to the lab to see what it is.
Right.
If it's not the gallbladder, I will put it back. Do not worry.
But then are you going to look for something else that's causing the pain?
I'm looking forward to your breast enlargement surgery.
Oh, no. Can we reschedule? What's going on?
You have a pretty mouth. I am looking forward to you while you are unconscious.
Oh, come on. The worst robot ever.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 19 minutes after 6, live from New York City. And Morgan Spurlock has joined us in the studio.
Hello.
Hey, Morgan. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
How are you? Thank you.
We have had you on many times over the years. You always are up to something interesting.
Yes.
And this was unexpected. When we first saw your name associated with the One Direction movie, the first thing we thought was, what? And then we thought, think about what a fascinating story this is to be told. And I'm sure that's what attracted you to it as well.
Bean skipping over the part where we were afraid you were just hanging out with young boys. He skips
and,
on that part.
And even younger girls.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it is. Look, for a lot of our audience doesn't know or like One Direction music, but you certainly can't deny what a phenomena they are in the music business, and they have such an interesting backstory. And we were talking before you came in today, Morgan, about, and I know we'll cover a lot of ground over the next few minutes, but about what it must be like for those kids, basically plucked from obscurity to become among the most famous people in the world. That must be insane to deal with and live through.
That's right. And I think that's one of the things that we talk about in the film is, you know, these kids left home at like 16, 17. You know, think about what you were doing at 16. Like, I got my license. I was going out, like, drinking beers in a field. And now, you know, here these guys are.
I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
That's right.
That's
and
what
now,
was happening.
And now suddenly in, you know, the past 3 years, they've become one of the biggest bands in the world. They're playing the Today Show down the street today. The Today Show announced it's the biggest performance they've ever had in the history of the Today Show. More fans out there, like 15,000. I mean, it's incredible what's happened to them in such a short amount of time. And one of the things that I find really amazing that I think when people see the film, there's two things. One, I don't think people realize how hard these guys work to be in this band. You know, like, they are constantly going from the minute they wake up to the minute they end their day. It is like nonstop stuff being booked, you know, beginning to end. And like, you know, and on top of that, the way that they've just handled themselves is, it's admirable. I mean, these guys have kept their wits about them. They haven't had any kind of like crazy Bieber-esque moments, and they've like, you know,
they haven't had any, and he's had one a day.
Yeah, they've kept their heads screwed on really, really well, and I think it's because, but and part of it is because I think there's five of them. I think these guys have each other to kind of vent to and, you know, download with.
But we're not One Direction fans because we're older than 12. But explain to people who aren't aware
here's
they came from, how they got put together.
Yeah. It's the story is fascinating because here were these five guys that were about to be kicked off a talent show. Like they were five guys. They were on a talent show, the X Factor in the UK.
Our American Idol, right?
Correct. Yeah. So they were about to be kicked off the show. It's our X Factor. So they were about to be eliminated from this show, and then Simon Cowell, in his Simon Cowell brilliance, says, "Well, we like these five guys. Why don't we put them together in a group and see what happens?" And you know, then they end up placing third on the show. They don't even win. Simon Cowell says, you know what, I'm still going to sign to my record label. I like these guys. And now here they are 3 years later, one of the biggest bands on earth. It's remarkable.
You know what was interesting about that was the timing. And I guess Simon Cowell, who's a very smart guy, I guess he knows how pop music cycles work. And he knew that it had been a few years since there had been a big boy band. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's been over a decade. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how it comes around. It comes around in that cycle. And we all remember when boy bands were everywhere, when there was, you know, there was like Backstreet Boys, there was NSYNC,
New Kids on the Block, and
New Kids. Yeah. Exactly. And that's been gone for a while. And I'm sure he just saw an opportunity because he understands teenage girls and knows that they're always looking for a group like this.
That's right. And I think there were tons of like single artists, like, you know, the like Taylor Swift's of the world. And
right.
There were like the Justin Bieber, like people who were solo artists, but not, you know, like a real popular group. And there were groups in other countries, like even in the UK, like there was a group called JLS. There were other like groups, but nobody had blown up the way they had. And this is the interesting thing. Like, I had a conversation with someone. They're like this whole band's manufactured. They were completely put together. And I was like, well, let me ask you a question.
True, true, and true.
But at the same time, you know, they were put together. You know, there's this marketing. You know, there is a huge marketing push behind them consistently. But if it's so easy, why isn't everybody doing it? Why aren't there 15 of these groups? You know, there is mm-hmm. something unique about these guys beyond just the fact that, you know, they were put together on a show.
Why do you think they somehow broke through?
I think it's a lot of things. I think they are massively charming. Like, when you watch the film, there is something disarmingly charming about these guys.
First things first, we're not going to watch the film.
You're going to watch it. You're going to watch it.
Okay.
You're lying through your teeth. You're going to be there opening
it,
weekend.
You're going to like it.
You're going to be that guy in the trench coat in the 17th row. I can already see it. It's happening. You're going to say, no, these girls are all with me. And you're going to go into the show. It's,
really?
Here's the thing. When you watch the film, they are really likable. You know, I think that's one of the things. I think they are still, and I think the biggest thing why they still continue to connect with fans is the guys they are today are the same guys they were 3 years ago. You know, they are still fantastically normal. The people they are on stage are the same people they are off stage, or the same people they are on camera. And I think that's, especially in today's world of pop music, I mean, that's rare. You know, that nobody who's kind of putting on some sort of, you know, some sort of a show, some sort of a mystique.
You think these guys were pretty good people, and then they become a band.
I think they were.
Justin Bieber was probably, in our opinion, always a dick. And then you add millions and millions of dollars, and something every day is happening where he's a
douchebag.
Then
you become a million-dollar dick.
That's right.
And I think it's, you know, I think that I think they come from great homes. Like, you see us, we visit their families, we talk to all their parents who are like, you know, one, there's a great line in the film where Louis goes home to see his mom, and the mom's like, this is the fifth time he's been home in 3 years. Like, literally since he went on X Factor.
So
he
is a dick.
He's been gone, exactly. No, they've been on the road, like, constantly. It's
right.
Like, when he has downtime, you know, his mom would go to see him in London. But it's, you know, I think these guys came from great homes. You know, there's a great scene in the movie where Zayn buys his mom a house. Like, these guys, they're taking care of their families. They're really, in their hearts, I think they're genuinely nice guys.
How did you get involved with One Direction.
I got called by the studio. Sony called me and said, and here's an interesting story. So go back 3 years. I got called by Paramount first 3 years ago, and they said, we'd like you to come in and meet with us about doing a movie about Justin Bieber. And I was in the middle of doing the greatest movie ever sold at the time.
Right.
You know, cold calling, chasing brands at that moment. I was like, there's no way I can do another movie right now. I can't. You know, there's no way I can do it.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. last January, while we were finishing both Mansum and Comic-Con, we were finishing both those movies for delivery, I got called by Paramount again to come in and meet with them about doing, about meeting with them about doing the Katy Perry film. And I said, there's no way I can come
hold
in.
On right there.
Yeah.
I don't care what you got going on. If you get Katy Perry pitched,
that's right.
Yeah. You say yes.
Well, you can't. Yeah. Not when you got two other movies. I was like, there's
I
no
don't
way.
Care about your two other movies.
I'm telling you. Here's the hard
your
part with that film.
Your priorities are wrong, sir.
Yeah. Well, and I think at that point, most of that film was already shot. Like, basically, I was inheriting all the footage.
Oh,
and I think,
are you just going to edit?
And I think that at that point, everything was done. Like, everything was already in the can.
They just wanted you to shape
movie.
It. Because
that's right. Here, now make
that,
the movie
right.
out of all this stuff, which I was like, I didn't really want to do that. You know, if I wasn't there from day one filming everything, I said I didn't want to be a part of that process.
But you understand it's Katy Perry.
Katy Perry is bananas.
Okay.
Spectacularly bananas.
All right.
Listen, but he's not on the bus
If she would have called me personally or like walked into my office, it probably would have been a very different story.
Because yes,
years ago, I got called to go, like, come in and meet with, I don't even remember what studio it was, about the movie House Bunny. They said, we'd like to meet with you. Would you like to come in and meet with Anna Faris? I said, yes, I would.
Absolutely.
And my producing partner, Jeremy in New York said, you cannot do that because the minute you meet Anna Faris, you're going to want to make that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, fine, I won't go. But because he's right. Like, I love Anna Faris.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
She is amazing.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's
the best.
Awesome.
And that's the same thing would have happened with Katy Perry. If she'd walked in the office, I'd have been like, oh, yes.
Yes, she would have.
I would love to make a movie.
But so the last 2 years would have been very different than they were for you and your 12-year-old fans.
That's right.
So the scheduling worked out for you, right, Morgan? When they called about
it
One
worked
Direction,
out for you. So then come June, it's like, you know, I just delivered Comic-Con. You know, we'd finished Mansum, and we didn't have a movie in development or production. So they said, you ever heard of this band, One Direction? I said, yes. And they said, would you want to come in and meet with us? I was like, absolutely. I was like, I'm not going to let another one of these kind of opportunities pass you by. As a doc filmmaker, it's few and far between that you ever get the chance to make a film of this scope, of this scale, about a band at this point in their careers.
Because let's face it, documentaries
in 3D,
don't usually have built-in fans and audience
right.
waiting
don't
for
have
it,
built-in
right,
fans.
Exactly.
They right. don't have like
it's an uphill battle.
Well, that's what I said. Like, we just had the premiere in London for the movie. The premiere in New York is going to be on Monday. I was like, it's the first time ever fans have camped out for a documentary. It's
yeah.
Like, fans actually camped out
well, they're there
out
to see you, Morgan.
Premiere. Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Let me ask you this. This is the voice of director Morgan Spurlock here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about his One Direction film, which opens up on Friday, August 30th.
Let me ask you, we call it 1D, Bean.
1D.
Sorry.
1D,
yeah.
1D, 3D.
1D,
3D.
Right.
There you go.
You mentioned the Bieber movie, which I know you saw. It was a terrific movie, right?
It's a good
movie.
Really, I went in
I
went in a cynic. You know, I was like, oh, this movie's going to be terrible. You watch that film and you're like, that kid had real talent.
Well,
like,
that's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, no, there's a scene of him, like, at 3 years old, where it's very at the beginning of the film. He's sitting there, and he's playing the bongos, or, like, he's playing the drums on the top of, like, the chair. And then you see him at, like, age 7, where he's, like, ripping it up on a drum set. And you're like, man, that kid had real talent.
Well, this was my question for you, Morgan. I want to draw a comparison here, because I was really impressed with Justin Bieber, because he did hustle and work hard, and he was out on the stoops of, you know, downtown, just busking and just trying to make it as an entertainer his whole
life. That's right. That's right.
You know, I don't know anything about the backstory of One Direction, and I didn't know
1D.
If these were,
1D.
Sorry.
Right.
I didn't know if these kids were also some sort of musical prodigies and it was going to be eventually they were going to make it, you know, no matter what. Or
I think they all have musical talent. I think part of that's why there's a tremendous amount of kind of backlash against them. One, because there wasn't like a lot of the suffering and there wasn't a lot of like, you know, the years of paying their dues and kind of, you know, playing in the small clubs and that stuff. You know, like literally they were on this show, and then after the show they were signed. They were putting together the first album. They were, you know, for the first year was when they were kind of bouncing all over the UK playing tiny little venues. You know, most of that is kind of lost on people. You know, they think it was just like here and then stadiums. You know, like for a year they did little venues. Then after that they were like coming into America and touring as an opening act in arenas. It was still beyond fast. Like, it's still beyond
still
fast. For
10 times as fast as anybody else.
That's
right.
Exactly right.
Right.
And so that's where I think most of the backlash comes from. So these guys are, each of the five of them, uniquely talented. Each of the five of them can sing. And you know, would they have gone and like pushed themselves had this not happened? You know, who knows?
Who knows,
I think
right?
that, but I think it was one of those where it was an incredibly unique situation that you know put them into an extraordinary situation.
All right, we have Morgan Spurlock in the studio. He's the guy who turned down Katy Perry and said yes to One Direction.
I didn't turn down Katy Perry.
As he will be known in my mind for the rest of time.
Did not even go meet with him. So you can't even turn it down if you didn't go really meet with him.
Talking about his new movie, 1D, 3D. And we'll come right back on the World Famous Game.
I love you, Katy Perry.
That's just not possible. Morgan Spurlock is showing me a picture of 1D Grandma.
There's a grandmother. 1D Grandma?
Yeah, read her sign. The sign's fantastic.
In 1D We Trust? No, I Love 1D. I don't know. I can't read it. In 79?
I'm 79.
Oh, I'm 79.
Yeah, and I Love 1D.
And I Love 1D. No way is that possible.
Morgan, first of all, Morgan Spurlock here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his film called One Direction, This Is Us in 3D, opening in theaters Friday, August 30th. Don't ever ask Kevin to read anything, first of all. It's something you should learn on this show.
You. Yeah.
Secondly,
well,
tell us about
Twitter. It's like I think her. She has a. Was this Grandma to 1D at Grandma? Oh
my
1D.
God!
Please let that be right. Please let that be.
That's funny. Tell us about the look. How long were you on the road with One Direction to make this movie?
6 months. Yeah.
How many shows did you see?
I have seen 35 plus One Direction.
Wow.
I've seen more One Direction concerts than any other band. Like I love Metallica, but I've seen One Direction more times than Metallica.
Are you a pedophile?
Are you deaf? Is the question I was going to ask.
I'd like them both to be answered.
Is it the sound of screaming girls? Girls at a certain age, when they scream, it's so painful.
It is louder than a jet plane taking off inside the arena.
Is that true?
It's about 110 plus decibels when the girls really wolf scream.
At wow.
Yeah.
Is their audience exclusively little girls, or do they have, besides Grandma, One Direction Grandma fan, do they have older fans as well?
No, there's older fans. Like when I first met the guys, like last June, I went to see one of their last shows when they were touring the States last year. And at that point, it was a very young crowd, probably like 11 to 17 was like the age range. And then when we kicked off the tour this past February for their worldwide tour, suddenly in like that 8 months, something had completely changed. Like there,
really?
Suddenly at the shows, like at the matinees, there were still young kids at the matinees. But at the night shows, there was a massive contingency of like suddenly 18 to 34 year old women. Where,
and
like,
by massive contingency, you mean like 1/100th of the crowd?
No, I'm talking like half.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, like half the crowd was suddenly like 18 to 34-year-old women, which is remarkable. And then when we were in Mexico City, probably one in every eight people in the crowd were guys. Like there was this was their first stadium show, which is at the end of the movie. It was about 75,000 people there. Suddenly there was this huge male audience. And it wasn't just like dads with daughters or guys with girlfriends.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. And not just like gay guys, but it were groups of guys who came together, probably because they're much smarter than us. And a group of guys saying, if you want to go meet a lot of girls, you should go to a One Direction concert.
Sure.
If we would all wise up, then that's what would happen.
That's pretty smart.
But it was a huge contingency of dudes there. It was amazing.
That is surprising. Do these guys write any of their own songs?
They did. I don't think they. Maybe one or two on the first album. They wrote more, co-wrote more on the second album. And then on the third album, they're co-writing a ton of them. Yeah, but never no like original songs of theirs. They're all co-written.
It does seem like the way to do it is you get five guys together and you have a professional songwriter write generic love songs to all girls so that they all believe it's them.
And that works. And if you look at like the Beatles' first album, you know, not to compare these guys to the Beatles, it's a very different world. But what I say to people but what I say to people all the time is I say this is the closest thing that I've ever seen to like Beatlemania in my lifetime. It is the closest thing to like girls like fawning over themselves, chasing them down the street,
literally crying,
like bawling, tears bawling.
That's what keeps us away, I think.
Yeah, but if you look at earlier bands and just use them as the example, because that's what people constantly compare them to. Even on their first album, there were a ton of songs that weren't written by them. They actually
did write
you know like half, but there were so many that were written by other people that were these massively generic like gushy love songs.
Right.
Yeah, and they had a producer and a stylist, and they were groomed to appeal to a certain audience. The first boy band, obviously. There's a lot of comparisons. Who is the favorite among the fans? Is there one? Is there a Justin Timberlake as he was to NSYNC One Direction?
I think Harry dominates the press. I mean, that's the thing that's obvious.
Because he has the best hair.
Over the world. Yeah, he's got very
much I'm sorry,
hair.
Bean. Did you just say he has the best hair?
He has the best obviously.
All right.
But they all have their own
fan. And in this movie, there are magical aerial shots throughout the film.
Is that right?
Yes,
wow.
There are lots of aerial shots. We're flying over their coifs.
How much money do you think Simon Cowell is going to end up making off of One Direction?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that...
Hundreds of millions of dollars?
I'd say not nearly as much as the band is making. I mean, because people also love to think that he's like this Svengali who's taking all the money.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, seriously, just that's what you would guess.
That's what you'd think. But like, he signed to their record label. Like, he doesn't touch their tour. Like, he doesn't touch any of that money
really?
That comes into this. No, like, literally, that's all their money now. Like, he's only tied to the record sales. Everything else, merchandising, everything else is now.
Well, he's not very smart then, because record sales don't pay much.
That's right.
Anymore.
Yeah,
they used to, but
yeah, not what they used to.
Wow.
Did you grow to like these young men when you were making the movie, Morgan?
I think they're very likable, and you know, as
love.
I said before,
would you go far,
trying,
so far as love?
I love them all equally too. I don't
Do you have a crush on any of them?
Yeah, I crush on them equally as much. You know, all five, I crush all five at once. Usually,
when
I lay on top of them.
Yeah. Where's One Direction going to be in 5 years?
That's the multi-million-dollar question. It's like, what's going to happen? You know, that's things like these five guys each have talent. You know, they each can sing. They have matured their music from the first album to the second. The third one, when they were on the road recording this, what you see in the movie, like we see us as they're shooting this third album, is matured even beyond that. They're getting a larger group of fans. You know, so
you were talking about the 18 to 34 year olds.
Yeah,
a lot of boy bands have that transition is a really tough transition.
It's a tough one
to go from having kid fans and being the biggest thing in the world. To adult fans, yeah.
That's right. And so that's the thing, is if they can actually mature their music as they become, you know, young men and aren't making, like, kid pop, and if they can continue to branch out their audience, and even if they can get guys. Like, that's the real question. If they could start to get, like, as we were in Mexico City and there were actually so many guys in that audience, like, if they can crack that, where suddenly guys will start coming out to a show
and
buying the records, then it's like
the end of the world as we know it.
But something, then anything's possible, you know. But, you know, it's up to them. It's up to those guys. But at some point, you know, they work so hard and they do so much, there's going to be burnout at some point. I think that you can't keep up the pace they are right now.
Yeah, they're going to need a break.
They're going to need a break, yeah.
One last question for you. Morgan Spurlock here in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his film One Direction.
It's fascinating to us to think about five guys that were really kind of nobodies.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, this kind of mania.
Are massive, yeah. How do they handle – do they have adults who keep them away from all of the girls who are following them everywhere they go who want to have sex with them?
I'd quit if that was the case.
It's like, I am out of this.
This is their one chance.
I mean, what are they doing about those temptations?
Well, I mean, there's – like, everywhere we go – there are girls who, like, make their way into the hotel, who, like, will get it, like, who will rent rooms in the same hotel that we'd be staying in, that will ride the elevators up and down all night long and hope to, like, catch a glimpse of one of them.
Really?
When we were in one, this happened, I knew it happened again in Mexico City, which was the last place we shot, but it's happened in countless cities where we shot, and girls will get into the stairwell and will be running up and down the stairwell, and then once they know the floor that we're staying on, they would just bang on the door until finally security would open the door, and then once security opened the door, they would bum rush the door in like a pack.
I like it.
And so like 5 or 10 of them would come in, so they would know security can't grab them all, and so a couple would like start to make it. So
how old are they?
Some of them are young, some of them are like 20s, 20-something. You know, it would depend.
If I'm 20-something and someone's keeping girls away from me, there's going to be hell to pay.
That's crazy. I mean, do they just not take advantage of any of that? I mean,
they're 19 to 21. I mean, it's like they're not eunuchs. I mean, I'm sure.
Right. They're enjoying themselves.
Plenty of good times to be had, you know, on the road as a 19 to 20-year-old.
Did you get any fallout?
From that, did I get any fringe benefits
that they leave behind?
No, did not.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and of course, you know, we always enjoy seeing everything that you direct. Do you have any idea yet what you're going to do next, Morgan?
Well, we have a TV series right now that's on CNN called Inside Man.
Inside Man, yeah, I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah, it's done, and so this Sunday is actually the season finale of that, which we're very excited about. This last one's all about unions. And it's a great show. So
very sexy topic.
Very sexy topic. There's nothing. Listen, from boy bands to unions, it doesn't get any sexier than that. See, that's the balance, though. It's like I did this show this film that's all about, you know, this massively crazy famous, you know, boy band in 3D
that people are going to want to see.
And then I did a TV series that's all about like immigration, education, unions, drought, you know, end of life issues. You know, it's things that like the young people are dying to hear more.
That's
of.
Right.
Yeah, Katy Perry, none of. None. Not in that list.
Love you, Katy Perry.
Morgan, thank you so much for
like I do.
Thank you so much for coming by, man. We always enjoy spending time with you on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Thank you, guys.
You have not missed the movie beat yet. Ralph Garman has that for you coming up next half hour. Plus, we'll tell you the story about the 70-year-old man who ended up with a fork in his penis on purpose. That happened. Time for the showbiz beat now. What's going on, Ralph?
You know how it happened?
He put it in his penis.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because he heard Ben Affleck was going to play Batman. So he said, there's no pain that could be worse than what I'm feeling right now. I have to do something to feel less pain. So he put a fork in his penis.
That was a really, really bizarre choice.
There were so many good names being bandied about. Jake Gyllenhaal was being mentioned. Wes Bentley was being mentioned. There were some really, really fine, talented actors with just marginal degrees of fame who would have been perfect to slide into that role to make them a superstar opposite Henry Cavill.
Now, I assume this was Zack Snyder's idea, though. I mean, I assume, obviously, he signed off on it. He's making the movie. I mean, you have a lot of respect for him, right?
It's diminishing, certainly. I was not a fan of... I thought Sucker Punch was flawed. I didn't think Man of Steel was very strong. So this was their big chance. This was the DC Universe's big chance to get back into the game, to be a real player on the field opposite Marvel movies like Iron Man, like the Avengers, and they really seem to know how to do it right.
Is it possible they'll surprise us?
I suppose, but they're really stacking the odds against themselves with this casting. I was really surprised. But yesterday it did happen. Warner Bros. Announced that Ben Affleck would play the Man of Steel's Batman in the second film. I'm just still in shock.
You really don't know what to say.
Really, I'm flummoxed. Here's a theory that someone, a friend of mine, contacted me with, and it may be the case. Warner Brothers and Affleck have a strong relationship now because he's done The Town for them and Argo for them.
Sure.
There's an established connection there. And as a director, they have been courting him to direct the Justice League movie for some time.
Oh, interesting.
So I wonder if this is their power play, perhaps, of getting him on board as director of Justice League if they throw him the Batman bone.
That's a pretty big bone.
But here's the thing. He has famously gone through a giant career swing where he was, when he took on Sum of All Fears, when he tried to take over the Jack Ryan character
that was
in the Tom
not good.
Clancy films, he was a colossal failure.
Yeah, that was not
good. Yeah, he was a little light for that.
And Daredevil was not a win for him. And he really went from sort of being on the top of the world to the bottom of the food chain. And then he started getting behind the camera, and he resurrected himself with some really quality directing jobs.
Right.
As well as starring in the films that he was directing.
He was great in The Town. He was great in Argo.
Of course, he directed that. Yeah. He did a great job. And so he sort of reinvented himself as an artist, kind of. Won the Oscar for Argo. And now he's going to take on another big-budget, big-franchise movie. And it's a gamble for him, and it's certainly a gamble for Warner Bros.
You're white, then you've been Affleck.
He's the eighth actor, by the way, to play Batman.
Eighth actor?
You know them all, Kevin, right?
Well, I know Michael Keaton.
That's one.
That's it. I know Christian Bale.
That's two.
That's George Clooney.
George Clooney.
That's three.
Val Kilmer.
That's four.
Adam West, obviously the best.
That's five.
Uh-oh. Who's six?
What?
I know there was some pre-Adam West Batman, too, that I don't know the name, so.
Is this pre-Adam West?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Then no one cares.
Two guys in the 40s.
That's all you have to say. Two guys in the 40s.
Robert Lowry.
Sure.
Lewis Wilson.
Oh, Lewis Wilson.
That's seven.
Obviously.
Are we missing? Is there one we're missing that we should know?
Christian Bale. Christian Bale. There you go.
He said Christian Bale.
He said Christian Bale.
Yeah,
all right, let's try this again. Okay, let's do it in order.
Do it again.
Lewis Wilson, Robert Lowry, that's two. Adam West is three. Michael Keaton is four. Val Kilmer is five. George Clooney is six. Christian Bale is seven. And then Ben Affleck would be
eight. Ben Affleck, I guess, would be the eighth one.
Yeah, be the eighth one. Aziz Ansari just scored a deal for himself. He is writing a book. You know how much he's making for this book?
All.
He's going to write a book about the single life, his comic take on the single life. And for that, they're going to give him $3.5 million.
I didn't think those deals were still being made. I thought books were going the way of, you know, movies. Everything's less expensive. CDs don't cost anything.
They gave him that kind of advance.
That's crazy. Good for him, but...
Yeah, it's kind of nutty, though, isn't it?
Yeah, very.
For that kind of money, you should write a book that cures cancer or something. It should really be single life. I like to get boned. I could write that. Give me $3.5 million. I'm just going to be angry all day today. Can you tell?
You're upset just because of the Batman thing.
Yeah, I am, pretty much. NBC has picked up the TV rights to a series version of the 1994 movie Reality Bites. Why so soon? America's asking. A series based on Reality Bites.
I read about this yesterday. It sounds like they're going to shoot it as a period piece. It's going to be set in the 90s, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is anybody really longing? There's a lot of nostalgia for 90s angst?
Not for me.
I don't know if you remember the film or not, but it was Jeanine Garofalo, Ethan Hawke, Ben Stiller, Winona Ryder.
It was okay, wasn't it?
About a bunch
of it was good. I liked it.
20-somethings dealing with their lives as they grew up in the 90s. I suppose couldn't be any worse than the Mermaid series they're working on.
Yeah, you know, well,
we got that going for us.
A lot of good showbiz news this weekend.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Former NBA player Kobe Bryant is 35 years old today. No? Nobody's going to rankle at that? Okay, fine.
No, don't egg him on.
He's selling his house right now with his shark tank in it and his hair salon built into his house. He's got both of those things as add-ons to the home.
Also 35 is Julian Casablancas of The Strokes. Jay Moore, our good friend and funny man, is 43 years old today. Dean DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots is 52. Shelley Long from Cheers and Modern Family most recently is 64 years old. Barbara Eden, always known as Jeannie from I Dream of Jeannie, 82 years old. I would wreck her at 82.
No,
I would destroy her.
No, you wouldn't.
I would break her hips with my pelvis. That's
but
what I
not
would
having
do to
sex,
her.
Though.
Yes, that's what be, that's what would be happening, Kevin. And singer, actor, legend, god, icon, Rick Springfield. Love is all right tonight. Baby! We're gonna be all right. Oh, still as good today as it ever was. Rick Springfield, 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got the movie beat for you coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock, and then a very fine actor on a, where did I find that? Arthur Darvill is his name, and he's on a TV show on BBC America called Broadchurch. That is awesome. We'll talk to Arthur next hour here, live from New York City on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's revisit a story that Ralph told us about yesterday. Katie Couric opening up a little bit about her single life. You know, she very famously had her husband die of colon cancer, and she was single for a few years, and she dated around a little bit like you do. And, of course, because she's a celebrity, she only dates celebrities. She said that she went out with Bob Saget, according to Ralph yesterday, and also with Survivor host Jeff Probst. Had a great time with both of them, but there was no follow-up phone call.
Both of them seem like good matches, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot of, Lisa, those would be good choices if you were a single lady looking around, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, what about Larry King? How do you feel about dating Larry King?
Not as much.
Larry King is old enough to be her father.
Maybe grandfather.
Literally.
Maybe she was just being polite.
I can't. I mean, look, Larry's a fascinating guy. I can't. I mean, I would go out to dinner with him. I would be friends with Larry if I were a woman. I can't imagine ever putting myself in a position where it might turn romantic because that would be a nightmare. But apparently, Larry was on Katie Couric's daytime talk show recently, and they spoke briefly about what that date was like.
I really wanted to find a life partner. And so I was sort of had this attitude.
I was a dead person?
not a live partner, okay. A life partner.
Okay, all right.
Too close to a dead person for her taste.
She already lost one husband. If you
right,
didn't
exactly.
marry Larry King, you'd just lose that guy too.
Yeah, you don't marry a guy on death's door, that's for
I'm
sure.
Not sure Larry will ever die, first of all.
We wanted to find out more about what that date was all about, and we asked producer Dave to line up our old friend Larry King, who I believe joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. King.
Kevin and Bean, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Welcome to the program. How you doing?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. You're on the air. Hello.
Right. We know. It's our radio show. You're just a guest.
What about the pink?
Well, that's what we want to ask you about. So you and Katie Couric went out on a date.
Katie Couric and I, yeah. We went out on a date. I crushed her. I ruined that.
It's funny. She said it was sort of awkward and that you weren't really a match.
Well, of course that's what she's going to say publicly. I mean, what is she going to say? That I murdered her vagina?
Is that what happened? You really did?
I gave her a check for colon cancer, if you know what I'm saying. In my own way. The Larry King way.
Oh, Larry. Wow. Well, the way she tells it is there was no romantic spark there at all, but she doesn't regret going out with you because you've become good friends and have remained friends up till this day.
She's a liar. I am quite the ladies' man. The ladies love Larry. I'm
is that
LL
right?
Cool. I'm LL Cool Larry.
A very hip reference for you, Mr. King.
I love the rap.
You do. I've seen you with Snoop Dogg as well.
That's
I've seen you
right.
rapping.
Snoop Lion and I were right. going to put out an album because
The chicks dig me, and I have had more conquests than you guys have had hot cups of coffee.
That's a surprise to me, because I know you've been, you know, married for most of your adult life multiple times. Haven't you been married like 8 times, Larry?
Yeah, but in between marriages, I'm knocking boots.
I see. I got you. Have you dated a lot of other celebrity women?
Lots of famous broads. Absolutely.
Like who? Like who?
Charo. Oh, I crushed Charo.
Really?
Yeah.
Charo.
Morgan Fairchild and I. Oh, what a night.
In the 60s?
What a night with Morgan.
Thatcher. Did you say Margaret Thatcher?
Thatcher. I hardly even know her.
Well, those are some interesting ladies today. You certainly don't have a type.
Lisa May.
Yes.
Remember Our Night of Passion, Lisa May?
Mm.
Lisa, I didn't realize you dated Larry King.
Well, you know, I went through all the old guys at least once.
That's true.
So
how was he? How was she, Larry?
I said, Lisa May, you're on my penis. Hello.
Ryan writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, first the Batman news, then you talked about One Direction for 15 minutes, and now you're playing Third Eye Blind? Come on, this is Friday, man. It's not supposed to be like this. P.S. Fire beer mug. Yeah. All right, let's turn this ship around for Ryan, shall we? It is Friday morning. That means Ralph is here, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
6 new movies are in Cineplexes this weekend for you to check out. Some big, big releases. Some are limited, smaller films. Something for everybody this weekend. This is going to be a very vague movie beat because Dave, the King of Mexico, does not want me to know specifically what the clips are that I'm about to play.
So great.
I'm just going to talk about the movies and then play you something from the movie starring somebody that's in the movie.
Okay.
That's
all right.
The plan. Drinking Buddies is opening this weekend. Olivia Wilde and Jake Johnson star as two co-workers at a Chicago brewery where they spend their days drinking and flirting. And everyone knows they're perfect for each other except for the fact that they're both in relationships. Will they find love at the end of this film?
I imagine.
Yes. I sure hope so, because I love Olivia Wilde and I love Jake Johnson. Anna Kendrick's also in this film. Ron Livingston's
wow.
in this film.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks really awesome. I look forward to checking this out. It's called Drinking Buddies. Here is a scene featuring somebody from Drinking Buddies talking to another person from Drinking Buddies about something from the movie.
I guess you have to take a person at their word that they're actually into you.
Hey, babe, if we want to get married...
Which we do.
I would love to reopen the floor for that conversation.
Absolutely. I don't think that this is working. I think 8 months is enough time to know whether something's going to work.
Tonight, no one's going home to their significant other because I no longer have one.
Okay.
Drunken sexing time. I like it. Scenic Route opens up this weekend. Josh Duhamel, Dan Fogler, Miracle Laurie, Christy Burstyn. They all star in this movie. It's about the relationship between two old friends. And the relationship is tested as they're stranded in the desert. That doesn't sound like a good idea.
No.
Here's some scenes. Here's a scene from Scenic Route.
I need you to wake up, buddy. I need you to wake up! Cutter! The police are coming! The police are coming! I need you to help me make them understand how this happened. Carter, come on. Come on. Hello? Do you hear me? Because if you don't help me explain, they're not going to understand, Carter. Come on. Come on.
Sounds like Kevin every night. He's always saying that to somebody who's unconscious someplace.
How dare you?
When the police are coming, what's going to happen?
Come on.
Also opening up this weekend, Short Term 12. This is the movie we talked about with John Gallagher Jr. We had him in, of course, from The Newsroom. Brie Larson also stars in this film. This looks just like just a take-your-own-life depressing film about at-risk children and the people who try to turn their lives around as staff at a foster care facility as they navigate the troubled waters of this world and also their own relationships. Here is a scene from Short Term 12.
Why are you so nice to me?
Well, it's easy. You are the weirdest, most beautiful person that I've ever met. I really think we need to talk through some of this stuff tonight.
All right, now. I just need to work.
I am on the floor every day with those kids, and last night, that girl sat next to me, and she cried, and she tried to tell me the only way that she knew how.
I've been waiting for 3 years for you to just once take the advice that you give your kids every 5 minutes and learn to talk about what's going on inside your head. So let's all lift our glasses to our king and queen. Everything good in my life is because of you.
That movie looked good to me.
It does look real good.
Feel like a bummer?
It looks like a tough movie. It doesn't look like an easy
comedy
time. Yeah, not an easy time at the theater. This looks a little more fun. The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. What happens when your mom disappears and then you find out that you're actually a warrior who's supposed to protect the world from demons? That's right.
Will they answer that?
Start kicking some demon ass is what you do, and look for your mom. That's what Lily Collins does. She stars in the Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. Looks like a great film with a great young cast. If you're into the Twilight films and the Hunger Games films, this is the kind of movie for you. Here's a scene from the Mortal Instruments, City of Bones.
I don't even know who I'm talking to. You're a killer. A cold-blooded killer.
As opposed to a peace-loving killer.
I know what I saw.
You think you know.
Why am I drawing this?
So I was right, you're not a mundane.
Excuse me? What's a mundane?
Someone from the human world.
She's not a mundane. She's a demon killer.
She's a shadow killer or whatever it is.
Whatever it is. It's cool. She's hot. So I like it. Also opening up this weekend, You're Next. Oh.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid.
You're Next.
Sharni Vinson stars in this film. We had her on the show earlier this week. Nicholas Tucci also in this film. Joe Swanberg, A.J. Bowen. The Davison family comes under attack during their wedding anniversary when a gang of mysterious killers learns that one of their victims harbors a secret talent for fighting back. Yeah, that's right. One of the Davises starts killing the killers. That's right.
Yeah.
Here's a scene from You're Next.
What is that?
Get away from the window!
What is happening?
They've been watching us for days. This wasn't a random attack.
And also, The World's End. This is my pick for the weekend. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Martin Freeman, Rosamund Pike. Five friends who reunite in an attempt to top their epic pub crawl from 20 years earlier unwittingly become humankind's only hope for survival as the alien robots start to take over the planet. But do they let that get in the way of their pub crawl? No, they do not,
of
sir.
Course not.
They are committed drinkers. God bless them. This is the third and final in the trilogy for the boys, but I hope they're back soon. Simon Pegg, Dick Frost, Edgar Wright working together. Here is a scene from The World's End.
Five guys, 12 pubs, 50 pints.
60 pints.
Steady on you, Valky.
I haven't had a drink for 16 years, Gary.
You must be thirsty then. But we can go back, see the guys, chew the fat, it'll be just like it always was.
You have a very selective memory, Gary.
Thanks.
You remember the Friday nights. I remember the Monday mornings.
Yeah, that's why we're going back on a Friday.
It's pointless arguing with you.
Exactly. So come.
This looks awesome. I can't wait to check it out. My pick for the weekend, The World's End, but there's lots of good stuff out there. Enjoy your movie going. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
It's time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
This is not going to be pleasant.
Nope. No. And let me also say that if Dave, the King of Mexico, offers to send you the photo of the surgery, decline. Because I will never get that image out of my head of the surgery of this guy that we're about to tell you about.
Doctors in Australia I've come across a case of autoerotic stimulation gone wrong. So, in other words, this guy was doing something
to make himself. Auto in his penis?
Doing something to make himself feel sexy, and it went terribly wrong. It's so embarrassing, they felt compelled to tell everyone about it. This dude, as you'll hear in this news story, put a fork in his penis.
Yay! This guy is forked, literally. Doctors taking this x-ray of a 70-year-old man who had to have a fork removed from inside his penis. It happened in Canberra, Australia, southwest of Sydney. The International Journal of Surgery reports the man was engaged in some kinky sex play with his partner when the fork became lodged inside his urethra. The man was so embarrassed, he waited 12 hours before going to the hospital, complaining of genital bleeding. The journal says the fork was so firmly lodged inside the man's body that doctors could not initially see the cause of the discomfort. But once they saw it on this x-ray, quote, multiple retrieval methods were contemplated with success achieved via forceps, traction, and copious lubrication.
Oh.
He was sent home with no long-term damage, and we suspect a better appreciation of proper table manners.
I saw copious lubrication last night at the Troop.
They're very good. They're very good.
He waited 12 hours like, oi, this might get better. Maybe this will go away. Maybe this will just fix itself.
And then when he showed up, the doctors who are trained couldn't even tell what was causing the pain.
Because he made it disappear.
Wait,
the fork had disappeared.
Look, my understanding was that he put the handle of the fork in first. And again, we apologize for anyone who's eating. And, that,
and then
he
kept going.
But it would have to stop when it got to the wide part where the tines are, right?
Yeah, you would think that, but I'm guessing that a doctor would probably be able to see that pretty quickly.
Yeah, the guy had a penis fork hanging out of his penis. He might be able to identify the problem immediately.
So it was so far in that it was gone.
How is that possible? How physically is there enough room in there to put a fork?
The doctor said, put a fork in him, he's done.
Oh, never mind. He's already got one.
Oh, never mind.
I don't know. I don't know why. I love the fact that he's 70.
70 years old, if you missed that part of the story.
Don't you get the idea that maybe this is like somebody that's young and just has just way too drunk and everybody's like, ah.
Yes. It makes perfect sense that he's 70.
Why?
Because apparently he's done everything else sexually you could do. The last thing that's left for him to do is to put a fork in his penis.
I've only got one thing on my bucket list, and it's a fork.
I've had sex with men, women, animals, corpses. I've done everything. You know what? I got nothing left to turn me on. I'm going to have to put a fork in my penis.
But let me ask you guys this, because I assumed when I first started seeing the unfortunate details of this story that this was, like so many other stories we've talked about on the show in the past, a guy who's alone with no sexual options, who's just looking for something to get him off. But didn't that news report we just played, didn't it say that he was with a partner? He had somebody else with him?
Yes, he did.
And the partner was brought in with a spoon inside his penis.
Then how far down on the list must a fork be when you're looking around your house for things that might feel good?
See, that's an impossible question for me because I could make a list of everything in the world, and the fork would not be on it.
Would not even be on the list. Right.
No.
A list of things to put inside your penis, and fork would not be on that
list. I could have a million things on that list. It wouldn't be a fork.
I understand.
All the way inside.
Why not use a spoon?
Why not use a spoon?
At least a spoon is smooth and rounded on all ends.
And maybe you could get it back out.
Right. And you know what's not at the end of a spoon? Giant pointy metal spikes used to stab food with is not on the end of a spoon in my penis.
And by the way, you're waiting 12 hours with a fork inside your penis.
Hey, what are you going to do about that fork in your penis? I don't know. I'm just going to wait it out. I'm going to wait and see if it just goes away.
But you would wait as long as you possibly could because
I would not.
Oh, it's embarrassing. You're going to walk into an emergency room, and they got that bulletproof glass so no one can hear.
What?
And you go, I have a fork in my penis.
If I have a fork in my penis and I'm in agony, what am I going to do?
Well, here's the question.
Not go to the emergency room? Is that your option for 12 hours? You're going to sit there with a fork in your penis?
This isn't a guy who swallowed a fork and is thinking, albeit wrongly, that, hey, maybe I'll just pass it.
Right.
There's no way out for this fork because it didn't go in your mouth.
Time is on his side. Time is not his friend when you have a fork in your penis.
But embarrassment is pretty high. Yep. I mean, this is a journal of medicine that did this. They were like, you know what? F ethics. Let's just go ahead and publish this story.
He had genital bleeding. The first drop of blood that comes out of my penis, I'm buying myself a hospital, whatever it takes. I'm getting a medical degree. I'm taking matters into my own hands. I'm not waiting around for 12 hours.
Oh,
look,
my God.
I know that this guy wasn't thinking clearly. Obviously, that's how he ended up with a penis full of fork. But it does seem like the embarrassment. I get what Kevin's saying. The embarrassment is going to be a factor. But the embarrassment is there if you go in minute one or in hour 12. The embarrassment is going to be the same. It's just you're much more closer to death if you wait the 12 hours.
Yeah. Right, but don't you think during that 12 hours, okay, come on, think, there's got to be a way to get this out.
There's no other options. There's no way he's going to be able to pull it out. He can't put a fishing line in there and try to pull it back out. He's stuck with it.
No, a Russian nesting doll in my butt, that's embarrassment. That's embarrassment that I might wait 12 hours before I go to the hospital. I'll just sit around saying, okay, what am I going to do? But no, a pointy fork in my penis with genital bleeding, no, I'm rushing to the hospital.
God.
Beer Mug, please try this. We want to see what this is like.
Hey, it's a new stunt for Beer Mug.
I like it. I like it. Let's have Beer Mug do it so we can find
only
out.
Only let's use a steak knife.
Oh, my God. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
It is Friday morning, live from New York City. Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat now.
I can think of 400 people I'd rather see play Batman off the top of my head.
Are you saying you're not pleased with the casting news that came out
yesterday?
What
were they thinking? What were they thinking?
A lot of listeners are making sure that we're checking on you for suicide. Make sure you're all right.
Of all of the options. And look, Ben Affleck is fine. He's very serviceable in certain kinds of roles at certain times. But freaking Batman, really? Warner Brothers, you have the world to choose from.
Yeah. Well, you nobody turns it down.
Everybody would be happy to play that role in the sequel to Man of Steel. Anybody. And Ben Affleck gets the nod last night. I was stunned, shocked, and frankly disturbed.
Yeah. But I just want to know why. Just tell me that, will you please? Just tell me why.
Just tell me why. Why indeed?
Yeah, that's a strange choice.
Here's what Darth Vader had to say about it.
No!
I didn't know he cared that much about Batman.
Well, we'll talk to him Monday about it.
What's up? Ralph, I know you're going to see Kevin Smith tonight for Hollywood Babylon New York
yes,
City Edition.
Yes, we're doing our Babylon.
What must it be like for him, a lifelong Batman fan, to have his best friend now being Batman in the movies? That's crazy.
I have not spoken to Smith yet about it. We decided to wait and had this discussion tonight at the Gotham Comedy Club. Gotham Comedy Club, by the way.
How about that? What are the chances?
But I do know from his Twitter feed that he said this means that I've seen Batman naked. That's all he has to say so far.
Wow.
It's not what I expected. So weird for him as a fanboy, but also as a guy who's living in the real world with his friend getting this.
It's so weird.
That is bizarre.
Jennifer Lopez. She may want to downsize her house a little bit. If someone can move into your house and you don't know about it, you might want to think about, I don't know, getting a new place.
How long? How long did this person live?
There was an intruder who lived on her property for about a week without being noticed. His name is John M. Dubas. He was living in J-Lo's pool house in Southampton, New York, early this month for about a week. He was posting photos of himself enjoying the amenities. It's like he's staying at a resort.
Posting photos.
Look at my view. Look at my view from the room. You should see the buffet here. It's outstanding.
The opposite thing you would think you would do to hide. He's posting photos.
He's not a great castaway, that's for sure. He went undetected by security and then was finally popped by police after several days on August the 8th. Now, this is, we make fun, but it's particularly scary because this guy already has been stalking J-Lo. She has a protective order against him, and now he's been charged with burglary, stalking, criminal contempt, and will have to undergo a mental evaluation. So, not that funny, but still. You need better security or a smaller house if someone can live on your land for a week.
No kidding.
I'm going to try that with Bean. We'll try to sneak on the island and see if I can...
You live in the barn.
Live in the barn or something. And just start eating his animals one by one. Until he notices. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford is set to arm wrestle WWE superstar Hulk Hogan.
Oh, finally, that's happening.
This morning. It's happening at the Intercontinental Hotel in Canada. So get your bets down.
Why?
I don't know. This guy's just a nut loaf.
He's the one who bought all the crack cocaine, right?
That's right. This is the guy who has a smartphone footage of him smoking crack cocaine. This guy's got bad problems with his reputation. He shouldn't be arm wrestling with Hulk Hogan at hotels.
Seriously.
Maybe he should do a little more marrying, less arm wrestling.
And by the way, if you beat Hulk Hogan, isn't he like 75 years old at this point? It's not.
It is a hollow victory.
Right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kobe Bryant, remember him? He used to play basketball for the LA Lakers.
Oh, still does, my friend.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Yep, still does.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he'll be back.
I thought he was in a full body cast or something.
Nope.
I thought he had his tendons removed. Didn't something happen?
Says it's feeling better than ever. He'll be back.
It's feeling better than ever. I'm sure that
better than when he was 17.
That's right. 35-year-old Kobe Bryant celebrates his birthday today. Also 35 is Julian Casablancas of the Strokes. Our good friend Jay Moore is 43 years old today. Guitarist Dean DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots is 52. Shelley Long from Cheers and Modern Family more recently, 64 years old. Barbara Eden, she was Jeannie. She used to live in a bottle. She was a genie in a bottle.
She was a genie.
But you
in
had
a bottle.
To rub her the right way, I understand. Oh. In order to.
File.
For things
way.
To.
But the, I mean, no way.
That was good.
Thank
file.
You, Dave King of
Mexico.
Nobody's
asking you.
I appreciate that.
You don't get to pick.
And singer, actor, legend, icon, god among men. Did you see that Sound City documentary
I did,
that
sure.
Dave Grohl
yeah.
did?
It was
best
fantastic.
Part of it. Best part of it? Rick Springfield.
It was an interesting part of it.
Best part of it, is what you meant to say. You meant to say the best part of it.
It was an interesting part.
Recorded all of his smash hits there, including this one. Actually, I don't think he recorded that one at the Sound City,
no.
But he's 64 years old.
That would have been a little tighter if Chip could have reached the button.
Well, for God's sake, she's on stilts. Give the girl a break. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me live that fantasy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, live from New York.
Wow, the Garden remix. I like it.
Hey, actor Arthur Darvill on his way down here. He'll be with us in about 10 minutes or so. He, of course, is the star of one of the stars of Broadchurch, the new BBC America show. Of course, Ralph, you know and love him from his time on Doctor Who.
Oh, God.
And
yes.
He's on Broadway right now, Lisa. He's the lead actor in the play Once. So we'll talk to Arthur Darvill coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the guys are in New York City. How are you using Beer Mug for your time there?
Well, we decided to send him out to do some bits for us so that we could play him on the air today. And before we left lunch yesterday at Serendipity, we said to Muggs, we said, here are three things that we want you to do. We want you to go down and get some Cronuts. Apparently, sure. That's the thing.
The hottest
all
the snack. Yep. Hottest snack in New York.
2 to 3 hour line. We want you to stand in that line and get some Cronuts. That's number one.
Mm-hmm. It seems like Muggs would definitely choose that regardless of what the other options are because it involves eating some sort of tasty food.
Number two is we want you to wear an Alex Rodriguez jersey and go out and argue with people and be on his side. Really, really be positive about A-Rod.
Because this town is very sour on A-Rod
right
now.
And he needs to get out there and really get in their faces and go, he's a great player, you know, so what if he has a bad attitude? But so we said, go do that. Or
you're hoping to get Muggs beat up by some New Yorkers.
Clearly.
Correct, yes. Or we came up with another bit, which happened at lunch, which Muggs looked at my lunch and said, as he always does, hey, Kevin, are you going to finish that? So we came up with a bit called, are you going to finish that? And he's going to walk into random restaurants and just walk up to tables with people that he doesn't know. And he's going to say, are you going to finish that?
I love that.
Comedy
That's
ensues.
Great. That's
Those
awesome.
Those are the three ideas we gave him.
Well, they're all great ideas, and I'm sure he did one of them.
Here's the first clip of what he did.
Hey, everybody. Beer Mug here in New York City. Kevin and Bean came down here for the VMAs. We're going to see what everybody else is down here for.
Yep, that's what he chose.
What? Which bit is that?
None.
You mention?
That's none of the above.
We're going to... Kevin and Bean came to New York. We're going to see what everyone else came here for?
That is his mission on this bit. Yes, that's what
Why
he decided was funnier than are you going to finish that?
You can't hold an artist down, Kevin.
A-Rod. That's it. That's what he found funnier than A-Rod. Although he did do one single A-Rod interview, but I don't think he was very effective with it.
Gary and Dominica, found them on Times Square. Very lovely people hanging out in New York. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
Awesome.
Good. Now, I see you guys are Yankees fans. What's the whole thing with A-Rod? Are you guys hating on him?
Yeah, I am a little bit.
Yeah. I like you're an honest man, Gary.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Very honest man.
Yeah, that's not the point. The point was to argue with him and to tell him that A-Rod is good. That was the point.
He didn't even ask how do you feel about him. He said, are you down on him? Like he gave him the answer before he even asked the question.
Then, I can't imagine for the life of me why he said this.
Last time I was in Vegas, I woke up with tissue in my pants and my nose was bleeding.
What's the context
on?
Of that?
What's
that?
Why are you talking about Vegas in New York?
Well, Gary and Dominica were from Vegas.
So
talking to the
what?
Mic.
Yeah, I know, Dave.
Yeah.
They were from Vegas, so
you said last time I was in Vegas, I had a pocket full of tissues and a bloody nose.
Yes.
This is not speed dating, Beer Mug. You're not supposed to share with yourself and get to know the subject. You're supposed to get an interview out of these people.
I thought I'd share a little part of my life with him.
Really? You thought you'd talk about you in some of these interviews? So then he decided that he was going to try and really wrap everything up in one succinct question.
What is your heaven of New York?
Can you rewind that, Chip?
One more time.
What
is your favorite thing in New York? What do you like about New York? What's the best part of being here?
All of that is what he means. But what he said was,
"What is your heaven of New York?"
What is your heaven of New York?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so he says, "Well, yeah, somebody else that." But it was a fail on every level. I mean, first of all, he didn't do any of the bits we gave him, which some of them I thought were pretty funny.
Yeah.
All I care about is, are you going to finish that? Him walking into restaurants.
You didn't say, ask people what their heaven of New York is? That wasn't one of your
ideas? We didn't give him that question, nor did we give him this question without a follow-up.
All right. I am here with
Devin, the famous joke man.
Devin, the famous joke man.
In
Times Square, I met some people earlier that told me I should talk to you.
Yeah, because, you know, now that I'm black, see, people, you know, want to talk to me now. You know, because back when I was white, no one wanted to talk to me because I used to rob and steal. You know?
I think I know.
But that was called banking.
Okay, so that was the guy's joke. So he says, you know what I'm talking about? Muggs clearly is confused because we haven't heard the punchline yet.
Right.
To that terrible joke. And he's like, I know. What, Bean?
I'm so confused by the whole I used to be black and now I'm white. Or I used
That's
to be
a
white
black,
black
guy being a comedian, being funny. Oh, but it all depends on the punchline of, I was a white banker, so I was ripping people off. See?
Okay. All right. I am lost.
Okay. So then Beer Mug did ask the question that begs a follow-up but has none.
How do you feel about the Jews?
You know what? They really upset me, man.
What? Why? Okay. What's happening?
When?
How do you feel about the Jews?
Mug? These are words I never thought I'd say, but Mug, explain what happened.
I will guarantee you that at lunch, none of us had a conversation where he said, why don't you go out and ask people what they feel about the Jews?
He was going off. He was doing his little shtick about, you know, black people and stuff. So I just threw in another race.
Another religion.
They're very popular ethnic group. Ethnic group, male, female, or Jew.
But when he says they really upset me, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe why?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to ask the question,
Kevin, don't be silly.
Might as well figure out what.
I didn't want to go
the purpose is behind that. So now Muggs is trying to relate to black men on the street.
Devin, can I tell you something funny?
Only if it's funny.
It's actually very deep. It has deep meaning to it. I think somewhere along my ancestral line, I have a little bit of black in me.
Do you have black people in your family tree?
It's never been confirmed, but I along the line, I think somewhere.
How does that sound? Shule, Abu, Seya.
No, don't worry. No.
I got rhythm. I play drums.
Oh, here we go with the freaking drumming. It was only a matter of time before he brought up the drumming.
So he tells the black guy that he's got black in his family tree. Why? Why would he say that? It's not been confirmed. He has no idea if that's the case.
At least he falls back on the old stereotype of blacks have rhythm. So that's
exactly
good. That was not insulting in any way. Why did you say I can dance pretty well? I'm a pretty good athlete. Why didn't you say that, Beer Mug?
That's racist, Ralph.
I can't really swim.
How's he doing so well on the streets of New York? How do you think he did yesterday, Beer Mug, so far?
Well, he's not asking anybody if they're going to finish that. That's not
right.
Happening. I'll tell
that
you
didn't
that.
Happen. But he did find a guy that could sing. Is this the guy in his underwear with the guitar? Is that who this is?
Yeah. The black, there's the regular naked cowboy. This is the black naked cowboy.
Because you have black in your family.
Yes. Okay.
That's why he's gravitated towards black people on the street.
Well, sitting here being interviewed by Kira. And they love the way I play myself asleep.
Help him, Mug.
Said I'm here, being interviewed by K-Rock.
If you could throw Kevin and Bean in there, that would be cool, too.
Kevin
and Bean.
Bean. They're the one for me.
Has anyone ever been that enthused? The kids outside in line for One Direction are not that excited.
Yeah!
I think all in all, I did a pretty good job.
You always do.
Nice work. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, And this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You mean this is the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock on a Friday morning, right? Got to be low. Yeah. Got to get your voice low compared to the
Arthur's
compared
making to Arthur sound Darvill. Like women today. Yeah.
Seriously. He comes in, he's like, hey, Kevin and Bean. Yeah. Arthur Darvill, ladies and gentlemen, one of the stars of BBC America's Broad Church. You can see him on Broadway in Once. He joins
hey.
The studio in New York City. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Good.
Doing fine. It's great to meet you. Where do you want to start? So much to talk to you about. Ralph, have you geeked out on Arthur over Doctor Who yet? Has that happened?
Well, that's kind of in the past for him now. I don't know if... it'll never be in the past.
It'll never be in the past. I think some of the follows you around forever. So, yeah, fire away if you need to geek out. A lot of people use it as therapy.
What's your take on the 12th Doctor?
I think it's a great decision. I think, you know, I think anyone who follows Matt is going to have... massive shoes to fill.
I think it was smart of them to go older and go in a different direction.
Absolutely. And go someone who's already proved himself as an actor and all that stuff. So, you know, I think it's still going to be hard for him to follow Matt, but I think he's a brilliant actor. I'm really excited.
Are we talking about Batman?
Yeah. No, Doctor Who.
Oh, Doctor Who. I'm sorry.
But didn't Matt also have the unenviable task of following a very popular Doctor Who as well?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of what happens in that series.
It is. I mean, that's the nature of oh God, there's a new guy. Let's criticize him before he
right.
Yeah, he got hit hard being too young, and it was
absolutely. And then you know, thankfully he was brilliant. So everyone.
But I think the show sort of took on a level of international success while Matt was the Doctor that no one else really had to deal with before.
Yeah, and I think you know that's down to a lot of factors. You know, one Matt being amazing at what he does, but also the show. You know, getting to a point where I think it was by the time. By the time I got in there, it was firing on all cylinders, and it was you know every week was like a movie. It's something I'm really proud of being involved with.
Well, you should be, and you shouldn't sell your participation short because you and Karen and your involvement, I think, also elevated the show to beyond the usual companions and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you. I mean, so much of that is Stephen, but
that's true.
What's it like? I mean, you were already a well-known face in Britain from the Little Dorrit and some other work that you had done, but once you're on Doctor Who, did it change for you almost overnight in terms
it's
of
It's another level.
Recognized?
I mean, like... Well, there's two types of people. So there's the people that casually watch TV. You know, Doctor Who in the UK is on a Saturday night, you know, prime time. So everyone sits down with their family and watches it. So there's those people. But then there's also the kind of the massive, massive fans who know more about the show than any of us.
Yeah.
Who will and tell you everything they know about
the
show.
Did you get questions asked that you had no idea?
Well, absolutely. I still do. Yeah. You know, I have the same response. I'm like, very nice. Very nice to meet you. You stop touching me.
You probably get questions about your own character and your own episodes that you have no idea what.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, but it's great. It's nice to be involved. Have been involved in something that people really care about.
Do the Whovians come out to the show? Do they come see?
They follow me
once?
Around every day. There's a whole pack
right?
of them.
Like downstairs.
Yeah, I feel like the Pied Piper of geeks. They do come out to the show, and I think that's great. And I've said this since I've done the show. You know, I've done quite a lot of theatre since Doctor Who, and in between filming and stuff, I always go back and do plays, and lots of Doctor Who fans come to the theatre. And you know, when David was on in the West End, he was doing a show, and lots of Doctor Who fans came to that. And I think if it's a way of getting people to see theatre because they like someone in a TV show, I think it's quite good.
It seems like fame translates well for people in the sci-fi and fantasy genre. Like, if you have a fan base, they will come and see you in other things. Patrick Stewart always said people would show up in the theatre to see him there, and David, as you mentioned. So it's nice that they're open to accepting you in other roles, and they really become a fan of you, the actor, and they're willing to come along on new trips like Broadchurch and things like that.
Absolutely. And Everyone I've met here has been really enthusiastic about, you know, the show I'm doing now. And, you know,
well, you and Tennant together, Broadchurch must be just a Whovian's dream come true.
Yeah,
it's a whole
absolutely,
new,
yeah.
Whole new level.
It's funny, we had never met before, and we met on the read-through and said, oh, we probably should have met before.
Is it true that you'd never done Broadway?
I've never done Broadway before this,
but you've
done
plays in England.
Yeah, I've done plays in England, but this was my,
Your introduction to Broadway.
Yeah. It's been a bit crazy, actually, because we...
Crazy good, crazy bad.
Crazy great,
crazy
actually,
crazy,
yeah.
Crazy rate.
Because I got the job after 4 days or 5 days of finding out about the audition for it, and then flew over here and got the job, and then got my visa and rehearsed in a room with a girl Joanna who's playing the girl with me, who's also English. But we just rehearsed the two of us together, and then arrived here on a Monday and was on stage on the Friday.
That's a little freaky.
That's insane. Because usually it's months of rehearsals before a play opens on Broadway, right?
Yeah, but the show was already running.
It was up and running. You just stepped in for the lead role, right? In,
yeah, so we had some rehearsals with John, the director, and Martin, the music director, who's a bit of a genius, and he'd, like, done Mamma Mia and things. And I'm not a musicals person at all, as you can probably hear.
Strange musical for you to be in
there. Croaky voice. but, you know, I've been in bands and stuff, so I'm used to singing loud and, you know, having a few drinks. And
speaking of having drinks and singing loud, we have to ask you a question when we come back. Oh, you want to ask him now?
Well, no, if you're going to set it up for the tease over.
Yeah, we'll tease.
You and I have actually met once before.
Have we?
Yes.
Oh, God, was it really embarrassing for me?
Well, for me more than you, I think.
Oh, right, good.
But I think the guys want me to tell the story. We'll tell that when we get back.
Oh, I can't wait. Break. Yeah. I can't wait.
The play is Once. The TV show is Broadchurch, which is on BBC America, and it is great. That's on Wednesday nights. And Ralph's story with Arthur coming up next on the World Famous K-Rock. Sorry. My bad.
They're still hooting.
Kevin, seriously.
My bad, I'm sorry. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Hey, Arthur Darville in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him on BBC America's Broadchurch, which we're going to talk about in great detail in just a moment. But first, Ralph, before the break, you teased that Arthur owes you money or something? Or
No, not at all.
You owe him money?
I don't know. I don't think so.
All right.
Arthur and I have actually met before. He may not remember this, but my best friend lives here in New York City, who's a Broadway actor named Ben Livingston. And he was in a show called One Man, Two Governors, which had come over from the West End with James Corden, was a big hit over there. And they brought almost all of the British cast over, except for this role that my buddy Ben had taken up. So I came to New York last year to see him in it. And that very same weekend, Arthur was also at the show.
Yeah.
You had some friends in the show as well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we all end up at the same bar after the performance.
Is this a normal thing on Broadway? If you're on a Broadway show, you go right to a bar?
What normally happens is you do the show and then you...
Go right to a bar.
Go to a bar.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because you're parched. You're parched, sure. So you need to
it's
have...
It's really thirsty work.
Okay. It is. You have to get hydrated. And so we're at this bar, and then someone came up with the idea. It may have been Arthur.
It was.
That karaoke needed to happen.
Oh, good.
Yes. And so we all ended up in one of these classic New York karaoke bars. We have the rooms, you know. You're not seeing one around.
Padded cell.
You have a padded cell. They put you in this room, and there's bottle service, and the waitress keeps bringing beer and shots and everything else that you can possibly ingest. And because it's New York City, I don't think we stumbled out of there until about 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, I think I've got photographs of you doing some really killer karaoke.
Is he clothed?
I'm probably in the news by that point.
I think so, yeah, from what I remember. Steve. But that night, that was quite a crazy night. Danny Rigby, who's one of my mates who was in the show, he's a brilliant actor, but he'd hurt his hand. And it was one of those, I think my girlfriend threw me into Danny's hand at one point.
While we were karaoke.
Sweet. It was one of those,
it was a karaoke injury. You don't see many of those.
How many hours were you singing? 3 to 4 hours?
Yeah, quite
easily.
A lot.
That's a lot of songs you went through.
Hey, we went through all the hits.
The whole catalog.
And it was one of those things where everybody was really drunk and then furiously paging through the books trying to find one song after another. It was the most voracious karaokeing I'd ever seen. We were karaokeing with a purpose. We were angrily karaokeing.
New York has the best karaoke places.
By far.
That trip, what's your go-to jam? What's the song like you know you own it when you get it?
Well, oh, God.
Somebody else sings it. You're like, no, that's
mine. No, there's a few. Like, it's really sad. One of my best mates is a guy who's in a band, and he did a cover of She's Always a Woman, Billy Joel, and I played guitar for him, and then I now go and sing it at karaoke, which is kind of slightly embarrassing, but so I do that, which is good.
That's not really a crowd pleaser, though.
No, it's not a crowd pleaser. It's a real weepy one. Yeah. My girlfriend really does Gangster's Paradise quite well.
Does she?
Her and my best mate together.
Nice.
She also does Lily Allen. She's much better at karaoke than I do. I just try and kind of get all those sentimental songs
out. You just bring the sadness.
Yeah.
Which late in the evening is not a good joke. You want to keep the tempo up, really.
I like to make everyone really depressed.
He thinks she's always a woman, and then we go, all right, thank you, good night, everybody.
I like people just to buy me drinks and pat me on the back in sympathy.
It was a lot of hugging.
So much hugging. I'm just lonely.
Every night you're on stage singing to a full house, and then those same people could go out after the show and see you singing karaoke someplace. It would just blow their minds.
Trying to make them cry.
All right.
I do a lot of rap, actually. Yeah.
You do a lot of rap.
I do a lot of rap in karaoke.
I'm sorry that we cut that off.
Yeah.
What's your rap go-to?
It's a bit of Coolio. You know, I mean, whatever's going down.
But you've got to have a sweet spot.
Yeah.
What is it? Because I'd like to hear a little of it.
Is it nothing but a true thing?
Hey, no, I need the words in front of me. I need the words right. above a bomb and...
All right. That's right. I didn't know the big screen. For some people, when you get to the rap songs, you know it well. But yeah,
that's
no
right.
Worries.
Hey.
Anyway, it's a pleasure to see you again, Arthur. Hey,
it's nice to see you
after
as well.
That foggy night.
Let's talk television for a minute because I think I'm all caught up on Broadchurch. Two episodes have aired on BBC America in this country so far. Is that right?
Something like yeah. I lose track of these things, but maybe three.
Maybe three. Yeah.
That I'm one behind. But man, right. Is it dark, and man, is it great. Now, I haven't seen a lot of your character. You play a priest on the show. I haven't seen much of you in the first two episodes.
A bit more later on, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they're setting you up to – let's tell folks about the show Broadchurch. Unusual name, but tell people why they need to check it out because I love it.
It's one of those rare things in television where it's a really good TV program. And I signed up to it before I'd seen a script or anything. And Chris Chibnall, the writer, he's a very, very lovely, brilliant, clever man. And he wrote a lot of the Doctor Who episodes that I was in. And had also worked with David before and a few other people from the show. And he came up to me on set in Doctor Who when we were filming the Dinosaurs episode that he wrote. And he said, oh, I've written you a part in my new TV show, do you want to do it? And I just went, yeah.
So, that's it?
Yeah, it was basically how it happened.
So he wrote it specifically for you.
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, as far as I know.
You were the third actor he had said that to.
The third actor he said that to. Jake Gyllenhaal first.
Right, sure.
And then eventually got down to me. But it's one of those great things in British television where they get all the really good actors together and write them really good parts. And the read-through was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. It was like if a bomb dropped on that room, that the most of British television would just stop.
Most of American television would stop as well.
Yeah. All of your superheroes die. But yeah, it's a very sad story about a child who is found on a beach in a small town, and he's dead and.
But you saying she's always a woman to him, so he was fine, right?
Yeah, so he was fine. And then everyone
that was just
cried
before he jumped.
And, yeah. But it's very simple. It's about how the town is affected by this death and not knowing who. I'm hesitant to call it a whodunit because I think it's more than that. I think it's a really good study of how people deal with crisis. And
it really is top
how
notch.
People's secrets come out once you know people start. You know, investigating and
BBC America might be better than most channels we have.
Oh yeah,
I think that's true.
I can't watch American TV.
I don't blame
there's too
you.
Many commercials.
Yeah, well,
so I don't know whether I'm being entertained but I don't know whether I'm being entertained or being sold stuff.
Oh, both. You know?
Yeah, both.
Oh,
yeah, probably both. At the same time.
Yeah,
more sold stuff.
Drink more coffee.
No, you're absolutely right, Arthur. The quality of the cast is just incredible, and every episode is like peeling back the onion, and you see another layer of what's going on with these people in this small town, and people who aren't what you think they are, and people who react differently than they think. And your character is super interesting because he's in a small town where literally everybody in town knows everybody else. It's a very isolated small town.
I'm playing a vicar, so there's something about being wearing that outfit and wearing that. And I did a lot of research on this. I found it really fascinating. It's something I'd never really thought about before. But you're always on show, and you're always, you know,
and people are looking to you for guidance. And you're just a guy who's going through the same thing that everybody else is. Yet they want you to help them get through it. And it's fascinating to see you try to do that.
And there's something about being a young vicar. I'm 31, so. And I met a vicar who was also 31 in a small town and kind of chatted to him about stuff. And he's like, go to the supermarket and it takes me 4 hours because everyone's coming to talk to me.
Wow.
And I have to be there and open.
Because you're a symbol.
You're never off duty.
You're not allowed to say, shopping.
No.
Move on.
No, Lego my ego. I didn't allow to do that.
And nobody ever speaking of selling people stuff. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get some free food.
It's like being a superhero. You're in that costume and people want help.
Yeah. And it's never because things are going great either. It's because they've got problems and they want your help. They all want something from you.
And also, the main thing is, they do a lot of funerals. A lot of people die. So it's, most of their time is spent consoling people and helping people through, through the tough stuff. I have complete admiration for those people, and something that I'd never, I went to a a school and we had a vicar, but he was just really jolly all the time. I didn't realize that, you know, he has to deal with such. There's a charity called Children in Need in the UK, and they have a teddy bear as their symbol, and he just wore a jumper with that teddy bear on every day.
So a jumper would be what to us?
A sweater. Sweater.
A sweater.
Yeah,
okay.
Like a knitted sweater with that, with a teddy bear on.
Okay. I don't know what's going on right now.
Read into that what you will.
Read into that what you will.
Look, whatever it takes to meet the kids.
It was such a different role from the Doctor.
He's great. He's
just a real different.
He's intense.
Yeah, he's really intense, and he gets more intense. His performance is great. And Olivia Colman as well. She's like one of my favorite people in the world and one of my favorite actors. But everyone terrific. In it. Jodie Whittaker's brilliant in it. She plays the mum. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch her the whole time, and you just see her going through this horrible, horrible tragedy.
Well, we got two great things to recommend, both of which co-star our new friend Arthur Darvill here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Broadchurch airs on Wednesday nights on BBC America. And when in New York, be sure to stop by the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater on 45th Street. That's where you're going to see him in Once till the end of this year. So glad you had a chance to come by, man. It was really fun to talk
to you. Thank you very much. It's been really good fun.
Thank you. It is the world famous K-Rock. We are broadcasting from New York this week, this weekend. And Monday we will be here as well. Time for the Ralph Show Biz Beat.
Are we broadcasting this weekend? Because I had to change my plans if that's the case.
I meant yesterday and today and then Monday.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We'll be here all week.
Correct.
I'm not working, though, tomorrow.
I'm not either.
I'm busy. I'm busy throwing up. I'm drinking all night. I'm pretty
sure. Kevin has chocolate to find it eat.
That's right. How dare you. Well, when it comes to showbiz news, there is good news and there is bad news. The good news is we no longer have to listen to the endless speculation about who's going to play Batman in the sequel to Man of Steel.
Oh, fantastic.
That's the good news.
What's the bad news?
Ben Affleck has been chosen to play Batman.
Bravo. Bravo.
Somebody had to bring up, yeah, but wait a minute.
There has to be something else going on here. This can't just be a pure choice of them saying he is the best possible actor for that role.
Yeah, that's not possible.
I'm guessing Larry David said no. He passed. And then it came down to Ben Affleck. That's what happened. I'm flummoxed by this decision. It would really came out of left field.
I've rarely seen Ralph this truly upset about something.
Because it genuinely, of all the actors that have been announced in the modern era of playing Batman, I see the least upside with Ben Affleck. I remember when Michael Keaton was announced, I was like, that's an odd choice, but he's got a certain crazy intensity to him that might work in this character.
Right.
Turns out that it did. Then, of course, Val Kilmer. Classically handsome, also a very intense actor. I said I can see him being Batman. He's got the looks to be Bruce Wayne. I got that. And then, of course, Clooney. I thought it was a good choice. Christian Bale did a remarkable job. And then Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and that.
One of these things just ain't like the other.
And that happened.
Film's director Zack Snyder said that Affleck has the acting chops to create a layered portrayal of a man who is older and wiser than Clark Kent and bears the scars of a seasoned crime fighter. Okay, Zack, you say so. I'm upset.
It is funny how much we're talking about a movie that doesn't come out until 2015, by the way.
2015?
Is that when it is?
Oh, yeah. July
2015, yeah.
I'm thinking about the Justice League, which will be 2017. That one. Aziz Ansari has scored a book deal. He's writing a book about single life. Just secured a publication for September of 2015, since we're talking about that year. They're giving him a couple bucks as an advance to write the book. It'll be $3.5 million.
Wow. But this is America. I want it now.
Well, you got it now. You got that money, and go write your book.
Wow.
Aziz Ansari.
Wow.
It's the bizarro world we're living in now.
It really is.
And Simon Cowell got together with his best buddy, Andrew Silverman. Apparently, they got together to have a conversation about that whole me getting your wife pregnant thing. I guess they had that talk.
Sorry about that.
Can you come out of that conversation and still be friends, do you think?
Well,
it depends if he didn't like her at the time.
Well, see, this is the thing. New York Post says that they ended the conversation on good terms. It looks like their friendship may be saved because, rumor has it, Andrew Silverman is happy to be done with Lauren Silverman.
That's the key.
And has reportedly said she's quite a handful and is now Simon's problem.
Oh, yes. Good luck with that, brother.
So by all accounts, they had an estranged relationship before this affair started. I was trying to let you off the hook on that one, but I
That does make it all. That's the way you could see it working out. That's the only way, is if he was right. miserable.
I'm sure it's still, even with that, it's kind of like a weird sort of pang kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, I don't want her, but it's weird that my best buddy's knocking her up and everything. But if all is said and done, maybe he's happy to be done. Kanye West appears on Kris Jenner's show today.
Woo-hoo.
Another thing Kanye West and Mike Catherwood have in common. apparently, he's going to address President Obama's comments about Kanye and Kim, and he's also going to talk about. I wonder if we'll talk about putting that paparazzi in the hospital and that old lawsuit. Probably
not. I'm guessing not.
And while we're talking about rappers, 2 Chainz, his bus was pulled over Wednesday night near Oklahoma City for broken taillights. But when officers wanted to board the bus,
tell me they found weed.
The driver locked them out, wouldn't let them on the bus. The police were pretty sure there were drugs on the bus, and they wanted to take a look, but they didn't have a warrant. You need the permission of the driver to do that, so the driver wouldn't open the door to the bus.
Wasn't that within his rights?
It was. And then the cops got their warrant, boarded the bus, and arrested all 11 people, including the driver and 2 Chainz, for interfering with the police process. Here's the thing. If they pull you over, and there's due cause...
They have a reason to suspect,
reason to
other
suspect,
than he's 2 Chainz?
Well, that's a pretty good reason. apparently, they do have the right to get on the bus and take a look. And so they say that the driver was interfering with the police process. But no word still whether the officers found any drugs on the bus. They arrested them for the interfering with the police process part, but no word on whether they found any drugs.
That's weird, because you said they didn't have the paperwork. So,
well, they got the paperwork.
Yeah. Oh, and then afterwards he still stopped them from getting on?
Apparently they were not cooperative. No. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Barbara Eden's 82 years old today. She played I Dream of Jeannie on the TV series of the same name. Shelley Long is 64 years old. Dean DeLeo, Stone Temple Pilots, is 52. Jay Moore turns 43 years old today. We love Jay.
We do. He's the best. He's the best.
Julian Casablancas of The Strokes turns 35. An actor, singer, legend, god, icon. My choice to play Batman.
Take it easy.
Rick Springfield. Rick Springfield.
No, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl.
Batman just rocking out and got the city.
Where can I find a woman like that? Like Jesse's Joker's girl.
Rick Springfield, 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I do remember a few years ago, after the last of the Southern California professional football teams, the NFL teams, left the area, we thought, we're going to get another team. L.A.'s too big a market for the NFL to ignore. Eventually, football's going to come back to the Southland, right? They have to.
Yeah, you would think it would be a slam dunk, but it sure hasn't been.
And then years go by, and all of a sudden, I don't feel like, I don't even know if there's much appetite for it anymore. And that's why I didn't know what to think when I saw the headline that football was coming back to the Southland last week. And then I read a little further and realized that it was arena football. And then I read a little further and realized it was the L.A. Kiss. Here's Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley from the rock and roll band Kiss talking about their latest business venture.
Hey, Gene, I am so fired up to see us finally bringing football back to Los Angeles. All the rest of the league better be ready, because L.A. Kiss is going to come rocking down the house and we're going to win. You know it.
You better believe it, Paul. Hey, everybody out there, the Kiss Army, get your butts out of here. We're going to show you the best time in the world. Most importantly, you've got to root for your favorite team and our favorite team. What is it? L.A. Kiss, baby. Don't forget it.
I've already forgotten it. The L.A. Kiss is going to be playing at the Honda Center in Anaheim, even though they're called the L.A. Kiss. And tickets are on sale now for season tickets. And we thought we'd find out more about football coming back to Southern California with our old friend Gene Simmons from the band Kiss, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Gene.
I can't believe that you're surprised, but I would be involved in something so exciting that I'd be the owner of what's going to be the greatest sports team in Los Angeles. I've been a passionate
I'm sorry.
football player.
I'm sorry. Hold on just a second there, Gene. You said the best sports team in Los Angeles? You're saying better than the Dodgers, better than the Lakers?
Better than
the future Clippers?
I firmly believe that by the end of one season, we will have a more passionate fan base than the Los Angeles Kings. We will have a larger fan base than the Los Angeles Lakers. And we will have more than likely a larger merchandising base than both the Lakers and the Dodgers combined. That's the way it goes.
All right. Well, you're
understand that I'm the world's greatest rock star and probably the richest man you've ever talked to. I'm easily the most handsome man that Lisa May's ever seen.
Sure.
So, anytime I touch something and I get involved in it, it turns to gold. And I'm very confident that the LA Kiss will be just like them.
Arena football is a tough go financially. There are a lot of other people who have owned teams and then gotten rid of them because there's not a great deal of interest in seeing that brand of the sport historically, Gene.
It's true. It's true. It is a risky endeavor, but I've studied it financially very, very closely, and I've put a lot of thought into this, and I believe that it's a great money-making endeavor for both Gene Simmons and for the band Kiss. And I don't know everything about owning a football team, but I do have a lot of friends and a lot of investors that are going to show me the ropes. You know, Lisa May, speaking of showing the ropes, I got a rope I'd like
oh,
to show
I
you.
Oh, I don't think we're okay if we don't.
You don't mind. Yeah. Have you watched one game of a
rope? Showing the ropes. Do you understand? Do you understand where I'm going with?
Pretty yeah, sure where
yeah,
you're going.
I think we all got yeah. it. Yes, we tried to it. Cut you off because we understand.
I just wanted to make sure that got through.
Giggity, it got through. Okay.
Yes, got it.
Swag.
Kevin was asking if you've ever seen Arena football.
You know, I can't say that I'm a huge fan, but I did start studying some of the playbooks, and I actually have a close friend in John Bon Jovi who owned an Arena football team,
right.
And he gave me some insight into some of the schemes and some of the differences between regular football that's played outdoors and Arena football. And I noticed that they like to because of the lack of space in a shorter truncated field, a lot of times offenses will pull out the tight ends. Lisa May, I was thinking about pulling out of your tight end.
Okay, all right, hold on a second here, Gene.
At least try to...
We're trying to have a serious interview here,
Gene. Try to
come
cover
on.
A little.
I'm talking football. I also noticed that they don't like to stack the backfield very much because, you know, like I said, it's a more fast-paced game and they're a smaller field. But when they do have more people in the backfield, they like to go with the wishbone. Lisa May, I've wished I could bone you for a long time.
Okay.
Wow.
There's nothing subtle about that.
You're not even being subtle in the least, Gene.
This isn't about Lisa.
It's always about Lisa. Don't you understand that?
Here's the way I look at it. If you have a front line that can open up a big hole,
Kevin.
No, I'm saying that's what you need in a football team because then anybody can go through it.
There's nowhere I can go with that because I know Lisa doesn't have a big hole on her body.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show from New York City at 9:36.
Ralph, what's your heaven of New York?
What's your heaven of New York?
You know my heaven of New York is?
That's what Mugs asked.
Beer mug not in it?
Yeah, that would make the whole city smell
you
better.
Know, Bean, we had this conversation. We talked for a long time about, you know, Lisa loves New York, so yes. We should bring her. But
and
Mugs,
Lisa's so fun to travel with, too.
And I appreciate all the things that make New York so great.
She likes fine dining. She likes the theater. She enjoys the life of the late night life of the
super
city.
Super easy to get along with. Not high maintenance, nothing. But we said, you know what? We can get a lot more out of Beer Mug. Because they've got these roundtable interviews, and he can sit in them all day that we used to have to sit in, and he can interview everybody that comes along, and they bring you crap. I mean,
you're talking about the
people.
MTV Video Music Awards. You're talking about the celebrities that they trot out for you
yes.
to talk to.
So we said, Lisa, we're really sorry. We decided to bring Beer Mug. Then, after all the tickets were done and everything, MTV got back to us and said, yeah, you know that roundtable thing? Not doing it.
You're
yeah.
kidding.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Not doing it.
Not doing it.
Oh, my so God.
So
the reason we brought Mugs, not happening. The reason that we left you back, not happening.
So then we tried to force Mugs out in the streets to get stuff for us to use tape and give him a bunch of ideas of things to execute on the streets. Doesn't do any of that.
It was pretty crappy.
Well, so. I think you reap what you sow, and I personally am totally enjoying the fact that this is going terribly.
And they're having a miserable time without
yes.
us.
Always doing that.
I hope
it's
it gets
like,
worse
it's like
over the weekend.
A tapeworm. It's like we brought a tapeworm with us to New York.
That's true.
It's just its only purpose is to eat our food.
That's a bummer. It's kind of a bummer. I got to be honest with you. So,
9:38. It is Friday. Ralph has one final look at the showbiz beat for the week. What's going on?
And then we were going to bring Bean because Bean is a joy to travel with.
Oh, nobody's
he's
better.
A good time. And then he has to have his innards removed.
Right.
Yeah.
He has to be gutted like a fish.
I'm not sure that's what's happening.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
Taking everything out.
All right.
It is weird to know that a few hours from now, a robot will be removing an organ from inside my body. That is
that's
a weird
the only
feeling.
Thing that gives us hope.
Is that might go terribly wrong?
Correct. Yeah.
I think a robot's going to be putting an organ in your body, too, if you know what I'm saying.
Really? I'm afraid I do.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I'm just trying to avoid the inevitable. I'm just trying to have some witty
banter.
You got to talk about this story.
You don't want to talk about it?
Well, it's real. It happened.
Couldn't be more fortuitous, though, that I have the Hollywood Babylon show tonight with Kevin Smith at the Gotham Comedy Club here in New York City.
That's true.
So I can spend the first 4 hours of the show screaming and crying and weeping and gnashing my teeth about the selection that Warner Brothers announced last night. They have put an end to all the speculation and said who will play Batman opposite Superman in the Man of Steel sequel. Ben Affleck has been chosen to play Batman.
And then somebody along the way said, wait, what?
Batfleck, as they're calling him now, will be starring opposite Henry Cavill in the Man of Steel 2.
I hope Ben Affleck doesn't go on the internet much. He would not be pleased with what he's seeing out there today.
It is uniformly, to the best of my knowledge, that I've been perusing Twitter and the rest of the internet this morning, an unpopular choice.
Well, it is a strange one at best. It's a strange choice. I don't even understand it.
I guess maybe he can pull off sort of the billionaire Bruce Wayne character, being sort of the aristocrat with a lot of money who, you know,
I guess
wears suits and stuff. Good looking fella.
Yeah.
But him and the cow in the cape being a badass, kicking ass.
Not sure I can see that.
So we'll have to wait and see. He's the eighth actor to play Batman on screen, and we'll see what happens. July of 2015 is when the movie's going to come out.
Oh, I'm busy. Shoot.
This is the first time I've ever heard about a movie like this where I said to myself, I wonder if I'll go see that or not.
You'll go see that. You'll have to.
I guess I'll be compelled
even
when
it
comes
blows,
out.
Even if it you'll have to.
But, yeah. Boy, it sure is disturbing.
Yeah, you're right. The new Ben Affleck.
So many. Simon Cowell met up with his baby mama's future ex-husband. Put that in your head and try to work it out. Simon, very close friends with Andrew Silverman. Not so much now that he has impregnated his current wife, Lauren Silverman.
That can tend to be frowned on.
New York Post says the two got together and apparently the summit ended well. May, in fact, save their relationship. They worked some stuff out. Rumor has it Andrew Silverman is pretty happy to be done with Lauren Silverman.
You can have her.
And reportedly said she's quite a handful and is Simon's problem now.
Oh, nice. Can you imagine, too? I don't want to hear one word about her and how she's driving you crazy.
Yeah, you do it.
You keep that to yourself.
Jeremy Renner's not just a big-time action star. Boy, he would have been a good Batman.
Jeremy Renner would have been great.
Yeah,
good point.
He's also freelancing as a real estate mogul. He made a lot of money doing this while he was in between acting jobs when he was starting out, and he's continuing to do it. He just pocketed a whole bunch of cash. He flipped a 10,000-square-foot home in Bel Air, bought the 2-acre property in 2010, remodeled it himself, and was able to sell it at a significant profit. He paid the... let me see what it says. Well, he made $17 million, and he sold it for $24
million. Dude!
What do you pay, seven? That's crazy.
Yeah, I paid $7 million for it.
That's a pretty good
profit. $7 million for a house and then sold it for $24 million.
I don't even understand how that's possible that it could go up that much. I just don't.
I can't either, but he did it, and now he's much richer than the rest of us, like he was before. Kanye West appears on Kris Jenner's afternoon talk show today, if you care. You may, because you'll get to see pictures of Northwest.
Oh, oh so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I don't care.
They're already online, by the way, if you want to check them out. It's shocking. I can see why everyone's so excited, because this baby looks exactly like a baby.
It's true.
Looks just like a baby.
You're not lying.
What are the odds that that baby would be all babyish?
Yeah, nothing really exciting. Just baby. I love babies, but baby.
So let me make sure I understand this. So Kanye West and Kim Kardashian... mm-hmm. had the opportunity to raise $3 or $4 million for charity by mm-hmm. selling the photo. But instead, correct. He went on his sort of mother-in-law's failing daytime talk show and unveiled it there instead.
Yes. And you know that's the only reason they didn't sell those pictures, I guarantee you.
It's because she went
so that
guarantee you, Chris yep. said, I know we could make a lot of money. And by the way, there's no way they'd give it to charity unless it was Kris Jenner's church.
Right.
I guarantee you, she said, I know we can make a lot of money, but I desperately need this talk show to work because I'm an attention whore and I need to have this succeed. So let's wait and unveil the pictures on my show.
Yep.
And Kanye said, where are my croissants?
You say that, but remember that I watched the Kris Jenner show on Monday because our friend Mike Catherwood was on.
That's
and
right.
She's doing fine with her show. Listen to what she had going on that day.
After the break, wait till you see how watermelon...
and placenta can make you look and feel your best.
I mean, she's not having any trouble with that show, Ralph.
That's good TV right there.
Great thing about living in, being in New York, right outside where we're broadcasting here from, there's a food truck, and that's what they're selling. Watermelon and placenta. Yeah, you can get it in a smoothie. And I'm going to try it because I hope it's going to make me look younger. Ugh, Kris Jenner.
Yeah, she's the worst.
She's bad. Northwest, by the way, better choice to play Batman than Ben Affleck.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's just been decided. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Julian Casablancas of The Strokes is 35 years old today. You know who else is 35? Kobe Bryant. Remember when he used to play basketball?
Oh, he still does.
Oh, does he?
Current superstar.
Oh, he's a current superstar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
How dare you?
Dave the King Mesko is laughing over there in his Clippers regalia. He's been
waiting for that for his whole life.
Jay Moore turns 43 years old today. Actor, comedian, radio show host. You listen to his radio show?
He's the best. I do.
Very funny show.
I do.
Does good work with
I do find it funny, though, when he comes up against a caller like we do occasionally that's just a terrible storyteller. And you don't know what to do with them, so you end up just being rude.
Yeah.
You just move on.
He doesn't suffer them well.
I find it funny to hear him try and handle that.
Dean DeLeo, Stone Temple Pilots, 52 years old today. Shelley Long, the actress, of course, from Cheers. And most recently, I guess, Modern Family. She plays Ed O'Neill's ex-wife on that show, 64 years old. Barbara Eden, who was Jeannie on I Dream of Jeannie, 82 years old today. She's a good-looking 82, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Agreed.
Really?
No.
Come on.
There's no good-looking 62-year-old.
She's 82, first of all.
There's no good-looking 62-year-old.
She's 82, first of all.
All right, whatever.
Well, I said it twice.
So did Kevin.
What's going on with him?
Shut up, Lisa.
Is she a good-looking 62-year-old for an 82-year-old? Is that what you're saying?
Because if that's the case, she's amazing.
Then she
looking.
Looks pretty good?
Yeah. No. But she's hot. You'd do her.
No.
Pull up a picture of Barbara Eden.
No.
Current day Barbara Eden, and you'd say, yeah, absolutely.
I don't think I would.
Wouldn't be first choice, but she'd be easily doable.
Would it be last choice?
Easily doable.
Like, if that's the last woman I could ever have sex with?
You don't get it, man.
I don't.
She's 82. And, of course, we've been celebrating all morning long. Singer, actor, icon, legend, guy.
Really, guy?
Rick Springfield. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. He is 64 years old today. They did that Sound City documentary. Dave Grohl did. He put that together. And he stole that board, remember? When he ripped off that studio and stole that board?
Still broke it in the middle of the night and stole it.
Did a documentary about it, and they had a big concert event to celebrate the premiere of that.
Right.
And Rick got up on stage and played, and the place went nuts. Biggest reaction of the night was when Rick hit the stage.
Really?
And Dave was playing along with him, and Taylor was there. And
sure,
Pat,
it wasn't
Pat
for,
Smear,
for
was
Dave and Pat and Taylor?
And it was for Rick, man.
Huh, all right.
Rick is 64 years old. Good looking 64, too. Though.
Just pulled up
for an 84-year-old
of a Barbara Eden. I just pulled a picture of her. Yeah. She's hot.
She looks hot.
She's dry.
She is hot.
I'm just saying
she is hot.
She looks dry.
She is an 82-year-old that you would do.
No.
Easily.
No.
Easily.
No.
Easily. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the
If I did that, my body would crumble into dust because she's so dry.
She would suck the moisture out of your
That's
body?
Correct, yes.
Like the mummy?
All right, let's play that song. Forget about talking about Monday. We'll be here. We got the MTV Awards covered. We got mugs on the red carpet.
We'll have nothing better to do. We'll all be here Monday.
Right. So we'll see you then. Have a great time. Bean, it's been great working with you.
Good luck, Bean.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What am I gonna do with you kids?
Roll another one.
Act like a bitch, get slapped like a bitch.
Just like the other one.
God damn it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
I need another hit.
Lisa, let him lose. Shake them for freedom, shake them for freedom, let them do something out. And shake them for freedom, Lisa, come on, Lisa, me.
Roll another one.
Hello, ladies love me.
Yep. Just like the other one.
Outstanding!
This one seems to be about 10.
everybody here is thinking, you know what? This guy's drunk.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Just pass it around.
Dear God, you're such a whiner.
If it's smooth, I'll eat it.
I just pass it on down.
There comes a point in every man's life when he has to say, enough is enough. For me, that time is now.
Go on, get out of here! Who needs ya?
That was not the completion of this announcement, but there's more. This is still not the end of the announcement. Thanks for listening. That's it. That's all. End of the announcement. Not really. End of the announcement.
There's actually a lot more, but tell us your thoughts so far.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire
life.
No,
yes. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.